This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, everybody. 7 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee alongside this week. Oh, my God. We have a stellar cast this week. Let me tell you. Kat Carlson.
Hello.
Is sitting right there. Barbara Seville.
Hello.
Is here in place of Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins rounds out the cast.
But I'm here in place of me.
Yeah. Wait, you're in place.
Welcome to the show.
Currently, you're in place of the wasted you from last Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
The sober you has shown up this week.
The last two Tuesdays. We went from.
Barely yet.
Yes.
Yeah,
totally.
Whatever Jenny, our liquor rep.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, she got me fucked up, and then. Last week I just got silly. I don't know what it was.
And then you stayed for an extra 3 hours after the show, and we watched Joan Rivers things on TV. That was fun.
Did you watch A Piece of Work?
Is that, uh-huh. Yeah. The Fashion Police tribute that they did, which was good.
That was my least favorite part of Joan's career, so I didn't watch that. I didn't care for
it. It was hilarious.
I only watched the ones like after award shows, so I didn't know. I never knew it was a weekly show. I thought it was just something that they did.
That's how it should be.
After the Oscars.
No.
Oh, that was 90 solid minutes of funny.
Very funny.
Are we going to talk about this later?
We can talk about whenever.
Because I read a couple different things. I read that they want Kathy Griffin, NeNe Leakes, or RuPaul. To take over.
I was already told and read that it was confirmed that Kathy...
I read that that wasn't confirmed, that was still a rumor.
Well, then I did
not. Because I looked that up after you said that. Because I thought that would have been a fine choice, but I think she's done enough walking through someone else's doors.
Maybe we will talk about that a little later on in the old entertainment segment.
She was real offended because there was talk that she was vying for the job while Joan was still beaten.
Oh, still alive.
Oh, she was
alive!
Not gonna... Well, they weren't sure if they were going to do... they were going to tape a show. They waited like an extra day to say, like, we're not taping this Friday show.
Right. Well, they're not going... They're completely dark till
Golden Globes. But they did wait that extra day to say, yeah, well, we're going to take 2 weeks off.
Right.
Yeah. And I could see where you'd be like, I heard there's a spot open. I heard somebody's in a coma.
And you know what, Al?
How do you think I got here?
Oh! I was going to say, Al, we'll do that for you next week.
The chair's not even cold.
I know.
And then what'll happen, Aretha will come out and she'll say something like this. So it'd be like, oh, what the hell?
Is that royalty free?
Yes, it is.
That definitely is, because there is no song she's singing there.
I just love the fact this is Al's favorite thing for the day is Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, that's Aretha Franklin does Les Miserables.
Yeah, what in the hell is going on? Oh, and for those of you who were with us last week, and I can't imagine you weren't, whether it was on a download or live.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you, really? I mean, good things come out of this show.
I think it's so nice I listened to it twice.
And I want to get this out of the way, so that people know that we did save it. We purposely paused the show last week just so that we could make sure that this audio clip was ready to go. And here it is. Oh, I turned it down. Oh, hang on. I got to do this again. Like this. These buttons.
I'm on that Buttier Muffins cunt flap.
There you go.
It didn't pop up, though.
No, it doesn't, but not on that screen. It won't. No.
Sit down and butter your muffins, cunt flap.
There.
It's fantastic.
Nothing pops up on that screen at this point.
I thought you said a video clip. Never mind.
I don't know, audio. Well, in studio, it was video.
Hey, I have a fun game we could play. It's called What's the Password?
Oh, well, I'll write it down. Okay. Actually, do you remember it, Kat?
I think so.
Stand by.
Yeah, because I don't.
8-6-7-5-3-0.
That's a good one. Jenny.
Yeah. See if you can... Program that into your punch that into your computer. Anywho, boys and girls, thank you for being here. Show number 184 on this Tuesday evening, right here, coming
really
to you live.
184 shows.
Actually, no. It's you take 63 is the show we first started. 121.
Yeah, 121.
Yeah,
it's still too many.
I've long wondered, why did you start with the show 63?
George Michael was born in 1963.
That's fantastic.
That's good. Why.
Gun to my head, I could have gotten close to that answer. But I was drunk when I heard the story.
just yesterday.
Yeah.
You were at work.
Exactly. Hold on. I can't quite read that. Hold on. Let me just get some blurriness out of my
Yes.
head.
So, yeah, so that's why I chose that. Because everybody else on the former incarnation of this network, you know, was doing everything plain Jane. So I was
completely
very specific about the fact that our first show was number 63. That was exactly, and they all thought I was like, "Why did you do it?" I'm like, "There's a reason. And there's a method to the madness."
Yeah, so eccentric.
And my method was to buy the network and take over. And here we are.
Winner.
Thank
Kick
you.
Out the natives.
Winner, just like America.
It is the American way.
The Utah Trail of Tears leads from 24th Street to 3rd Street to here.
To 1st Avenue. God damn.
A couple of serapes and a slap a hoe on the way. You
know. Oh.
Well, we haven't offended the Indian Nation in a while.
Casual racism so early in the show? Yeah. No, unintentional race? No, that was intentional. Yeah,
there's so much intentional.
I kind of drove right into that one.
Last week,
do I need to add them to the list of lost listeners?
Do you have room on that page?
I'm keeping a list.
She did. She started a list when she started filling in of people that no longer listen.
Things I can say that aren't worse than Redskin. As the category we'll call it.
Ding, ding, ding.
No, I'm sorry. We lost the Navajo Nation last week.
Oh, who is it? Well, we'll just pick another tribe.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
That whole Squaw Peak, Piestewa Peak shit. We got that one, too. We could... You know what I think is funny?
He had 100 years to tell me that meant bitch. You know what I mean?
They named that. Mm-hmm. They renamed the mountain after Lori Presto, and I get all that, blah, blah. But do you notice, if you've ever driven up around the mountain, every road is still called Squaw Drive, Squaw Trail, Squaw this.
Oh, yeah, it still says Squaw Peak, next left.
Yeah, exactly.
Piestewa Peak, Squaw Peak, two left. So, well, where's Piestewa? I want to hike that one.
We're not going to commit to that real hard. We're not going to do road signs for it.
Although Mark Martinez is very careful so that he doesn't slip up on the news.
Oh,
he's very careful to always call it Piestewa.
Well, you have to.
And I make fun of him relentlessly. I am the schoolyard bully on that one.
Why is that?
Huh?
Why?
I think it's goofy.
Because it's fun to fuck with Mark Martinez.
Both points are fair.
I saw him just the other day. I'm going to his house on Thursday to install a new sprinkler timer.
Does he know?
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm so far out of his age range of interest that he wants fair warning.
He doesn't even look at him.
He'll leave the house unlocked and know that I won't take shit.
That goes both ways, though.
He still looks good without his, doesn't mind. Yeah. He looks good.
Yeah. Well, without his filters, what were you going to say?
Without being on a TV far, far away from your living room? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I remember one night at the club, he was feeling it and having a good time.
Oh, we've all seen that.
Good time, Monday, Mark.
Monday. That was back when his days off were Monday.
And now mine are.
Now his... and Thursday. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Speaking of Mondays not being your day off, you are starting another... Is this season 3 for you?
Season 3 of Barbara Seville's Drag Race. I'm excited about that.
I saw the post that I'm glad to find out that I'm one of the judges.
I saw the post that I'm part of it. Thanks.
Are you free?
I am now. No, I'm glad to be part of that. We're doing that at... for those of you who might listen locally, it's at The Rock on Monday nights, the 10 p.m. starting on the 6th, correct?
That is right.
Every Monday. Well, that'll be fun. How many contestants this year do we have to beat up? Ooh, 6. Okay.
And now that I put all the information out.
There's enthusiasm. That's what you're looking for. Oh, 6.
Now that I put all the information out and created the ads, I have people emailing me saying, oh, it's too late. Yeah. It's too late.
Yeah. It's always, yeah. Exactly. We also have to celebrate with you and all of us, I think, well, except Kat. She's not part of it. She's part of it on a separate team.
Her own team.
But we're jumping into this so soon.
Well, we've got to.
Let's just get it over with so we can be friends.
The Barbara Seville Wonderful 100 is by $5,000 front of everybody else's team.
Well played.
Very nice.
How many people here think that Kat is holding on and pulling a stunt?
Like she's got 10 grand stuck away somewhere?
I
Or four
They're
bucks.
Not even registered, so I know there's some dirty pool.
Wait, she's...
I'm registered. No, I'm
dirty
registered.
Pool.
But I don't see your team.
Yes.
Did we fall off the top 20?
Oh, she's... Oh, no.
Oh, gosh, sorry.
No, because because I gave her an update last week of where she was like 18 out of 20. And
No, we're number 20.
Oh, still hanging on. You're...
By a pinky nail.
But it goes by leaps and then bounds.
Where are the bounds?
No, I mean, but like you'll have nothing, and then all of a sudden you'll get a big day, and then you'll have
there
nothing.
You are, yeah.
Yeah. And then
I've never looked that far down the list.
Jesus, Barbara.
Well, that's where you find us.
Oh, yes.
But I think you've got something planned because you were what I would describe as a formidable foe last year.
Oh.
Yeah. No, we were very proud of all the money that we raised and all the people we got involved last year. And
it's crazy.
You know, regardless of what you raise, I mean, it's good to get everybody involved, regardless of you.
Well, and that was my goal. It wasn't like big numbers. It was big people, like... No.
Yeah.
Rewind. Flip that. Reverse it.
A little bit of both.
I was going to offend another group of people that might listen, but I'm going to stop.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, my goal was a lot of people, not
Walker.
A lot of dollars.
Yeah.
They ended up coming hand in hand, which was fantastic. So
yeah. We're number two or number three, weren't you?
Number two.
Number two.
Oh, well, then
$13,000.
Well, then by all means, you are.
I mean, that's.
Calm down, bitch. She goes,
you starting to believe that, weren't you?
I don't know. I don't remember
back
last year.
Back in your pants.
But very good. I think it's great. We're everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. But what's funny to think is, what, 4 weeks are we out?
Mm-hmm. It was four. Yeah. 20, Sunday was
25 yeah. days, yeah. 13 hours, according to the old countdown on the AIDS Walk Arizona page. By all means, if you want to, you can look us up if you want to join the team. If you haven't done so yet, you've got Barbara Seville's Wonderful 100. Also, there is the cash-in. It's called At the Cash, mm-hmm. the cash-in country. That is Kat's team from obviously representing the cash-in bar here in Phoenix. So lots to go on. Any do either one of you have any events coming up? Did you do Yappy Hour, Barbara?
Yeah, we did that.
Or did that at the Bunkhouse, yeah,
we've
right?
We've done Yappy Hour. We've done our dining out thing at Tico's. Right. Next up, we've got Drag Brunch, and we've got a registration event at Cobalt. We're excited about that. And then our bar tour. We're doing a bar crawl again.
Oh, cool. I can think of a bar that might not be on that list.
I think you might be right.
We're a little far to bike too. It's okay. We understand.
No, not yours.
There's actually
we
a
might
bus.
Stop there.
There's actually a bus.
That's what we're trying to get. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Very if fun. I only owned one, I could mm-hmm. then I could drive us all around. But I don't.
Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Make it so.
Hey, if anybody's got a 12 grand laying around, I have a perfect. There's a completely converted, wonderful bus I'd love to buy, but that's a lot for right now. Just
is there any return on my investment?
You nope. get to ride around in a bus on bar tours,
and you get to feel good about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm saying it. No.
Exactly. I'd be willing to put it all on red and try and double it, but
that'd be nice.
Because you know me, translate that into dollars.
Yeah. Hey, Clayton, I want to share a link on my Facebook page so people can listen live. How would I do that?
You can do it. Well, there's a couple of ways you can do it. I was going to say you could do it in the chat room, but then they wouldn't know where you were going.
The fastest would be to go to Clayton's page and just share his recently shared link.
Thank you.
Oh, look, Kat is our IT girl of the week.
Someone came to work.
I sure did.
Alert.
She is so prepared.
She's at least once this week.
Is that gmail.com?
That is gmail.com.
Or gmarl. Okay, gmail.com. I'm sending you something for your other stuff.
Oh, we have a lot going on. We have since Marnie or Mari, what's her name? What do you call her?
I don't know.
Margaret.
Mariah.
Yeah, Mariah.
Marnston.
Since she is on vacay for a couple of weeks, taking over.
She's at a Fleetwood Mac concert.
And headlines. Well, she's still taking off for this show. So.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, but wait, is she at a Fleetwood Mac concert with Christine McVie? Because that's special.
She came back.
Yeah, okay.
Christine McVie came back.
There's that. She needed the money.
Yeah.
You had something to add to that?
Yeah, because I was excited that Christine McVie was coming back.
Sure, I would be too.
That's why I hesitated at first, because she wasn't coming, and there was a bunch of stuff. Like, no one asked her. Of course we asked her. No one asked her. And then I think her cable bill came due, and she's like, I'm going on that tour. This Showtime's expensive.
Yeah, I need $47 right now.
I think it's in England. It's called Showplace.
Oh, and they pay for it with what, pounds? She's got to get pounds?
I don't know.
Whatever it is.
I would think so.
The Queen's money. Who knows?
Shillings, perhaps?
Yeah. How many shillings for your shoes, sir? I don't know where that came from.
Neither. But I love it when they're the early part of the show where you try accents of different nations that you. And none of us know.
And that I've never been to.
It's so much fun when he imitates people and I have to guess who they are and then he has to tell me.
And you can't tell if it's a southern draw or a
The southern I can probably do just from life experience. I can probably do that.
There was, I went to a movie in L.A. yesterday, and when you do their little kiosk, the accent for Arclight, it's an Australian person talking. And the lady next to me goes, ooh, Boston. And I'm like... I'm like, nope.
Boston.
And Harrison was so busy chatting her up about the movie that I was like, oh no, we're going to be stuck with this woman.
Did you happen to find the chat room?
Her.
So are you in the chat room with the
way ahead of you, sugar?
Guys, want to make sure, Barbara, I want to make sure every possible way to irritate listeners you have access to.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
That's good. But, well, starting around the table, Kitty Cat Carlson.
Goodness gracious.
What you been up to?
Well, it's been kind of busy. We decided to go on a last-minute one-day camping trip on Thursday of last week.
Does that count if it's just
fun.
A day?
Yes, it does.
I mean, we slept in a tent, so I think it counts.
Yes, it does.
And you weren't evicted, so that's really camping.
No, we were able to come back.
When the cable goes out, it's camping. Now, let's be clear.
No, we took the kids up just past Payson and... You know, little state
did they come back with you?
They did. Yeah,
mostly.
They were delightful. We had a wonderful time.
Was school out?
School was out. Yeah. The school district we're in. They call it fall break, but it's really what is it?
Teacher
Rosh Hashanah?
Conference?
No, it's the Jewish holiday.
Okay. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, in Scottsdale, they got to let them out.
That's
what
I'm saying.
I get it.
Well, they sneak around. They sneak around Easter too.
Absolutely.
Because they can't call it Easter.
So yeah, spring they can't break. Call it Easter, yeah. And they can't call it Rosh Hashanah, and they can't call it Christmas, and they can't call it anything else. So they call it
criminy.
Winter, spring, and fall breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we did that, and it turns out that's a whole lot more work with kids than it was without kids.
Oh, yeah.
Because it used to be pack up the tent, put some beer in a cooler and some hot dogs, and off you go.
Yeah. Oh.
But now you have to pack beer for kids.
Yeah. Exactly.
And additional
now
hot dogs.
You have to pack the near beer, more hot dogs, entertainment. Near
and then when you assholes. Find out they don't like Pop-Tarts, I mean, that's your whole foil meal plan out the door.
Those are like rations from the military because they're all sealed up and they're ready to go.
They're all sealed up.
Oh, by the way, for those of you who can't see, we have Pop-Tarts this week. We talked about them a lot last week. There is Kat was kind enough to bring strawberry and blueberry. And then Al discovered
raspberry,
which was
while eating raspberries, God. And they clearly know what fruit they're pretending to be because the picture matches. The real thing.
Right. They did a good job.
But what I want to know, you said that before this new discovery, that was not a known flavor.
No, but you remember, I've not been allowed down the Pop-Tart aisle for many, many years.
How did you get these?
They're right near the oatmeal aisle, which I am allowed down. Actually, it turns out it's on the same thing. I just have my state-sanctioned mental block up.
Okay.
And as I look to the left, I'm like, oh, I see something frosted. Mm. By the pricking of my thumbs kind of deal. And then I had to look at the flavors and see what was still available. Yeah. I just remember there being like dwarves or munchkins or something on the box. Am I making that up?
No, that's snap, cookies. That's
that looks like
Elves.
Snap, Crackle, Pop is what you're thinking.
Yeah,
of.
You're thinking of Rice Krispies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there were
also
no...
a Kellogg's product. Right. So same company.
Oh, well, yeah, true.
So I'm just mixing up all my logos.
Because they
downloaded that font and goddamn it, they're using it.
Right.
God damn it.
Gonna get their money out of
that. I know a lot
of
bars that feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I think it's appropriate that you associate dwarfs and breakfast food. I think there's a good kind of a...
I think it's healthy.
Yeah, sure.
Those
are
on the list. Let me be clear. Those Pop-Tarts, not dwarfs. Those are on the list of things I remember being much better.
Oh, when you were younger?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, like I treated myself to something from Fry's, like a Hostess cupcake or something like that. And it just tasted like wax and grease. It was really horrible.
First of all, they took all the trans fats out.
That's what ruined them.
Oh, is that the problem?
It, yeah. Nothing good's going to happen.
They took the dolphin out of the tuna. They took the trans fats out of the sweets. Yeah.
Well, and that's why the McDonald's, the French fries are not what they used to be in the 80s either.
I still love them, though.
Yeah, the old gray mare just ain't... Oh, I was saying that about you. I'm sorry. I thought...
Oh!
It works on so many levels.
my bad.
One for
Hey, Don. Yeah, no, we got to work on a 911 call. The director of that particular program is Mr. Clayton McKee, so he just surprises us with that.
I do to surprise him, and I have to find a good one that I can...
The humble players have no part.
No, other than, can you be a Southern gentleman this week, or can you be a black man? What's it? The Reverend Lowdown.
Reverend Lowdown.
Yes, we'll have to work on another 911 call, because that is a good time for the...
Yeah, because we haven't had any letters from the NAACP yet.
Oh, what a dream.
Glad calls to tell us to fuck off at weekly, but...
Do they? Tell them I said hi.
So quit bashing every other letter besides G and L.
I was at...
that's You're only mean because bullies. There's an L at the table.
I was at a show this weekend, and someone said, oh, here, Barbara, we have something for you from GLAAD. And I said, I don't want that shit, because I thought it was from...
you thought it was from the Dartley?
That goddamn Dartley. I figured they wanted me to do a benefit for them or
play darts.
What is it, the Gay Lesbian Arizona Dart League?
Uh-huh, something like that. This was actually the Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation or whatever the hell.
I don't want that shit.
That's literally what I said.
That is hysterical.
And it was actually a nice invitation to a dinner with the McCains.
Which you found out after you got it out of the garbage.
Uh-huh.
Let me try to reassemble that thing I tore up in a temper tantrum. I don't know if you're a goddamn Dart League.
When
write
is
down
it?
Dart League on the thing.
It's next week.
Are you gonna go?
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Where is it gonna be? It's somewhere right here. But Cindy and Megan McCain.
Uh-huh.
Okay, John's not coming.
I'm thinking John won't be there.
No, or his what's his boyfriend's name? Lindsay. His husband,
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah,
Lindsey. Oh, Linz.
So the one that is John Stewart says the one that holds his purse.
Do you want to be my plus one, Clayton?
What day? What day of the week?
I don't know. I'll find out.
Because I got to go to Vegas I probably can't, because I leave immediately after the show next week to go to Vegas for 4 days to install.
I got a show
up there. Charlie's Vegas, I got to install. At least it wasn't Glad Trash
That's
Bag.
That's exactly
Smalley.
What I thought you were going to say.
Exactly.
Here, I thought you were going to be like, I thought it was those goddamn trash bag people.
Yes.
Don't be sad.
We've got a dress for you. It looks like a trash bag.
Because it is.
No, I'm just anti so many of those groups right now. Because, and you probably understand this, Kat, all these organizations or teams that only know you when they need something.
Oh, of course.
Right.
and I hate to say it, but they're on that list.
They're on that list. Sure. Did this invitation specify, are you going as Richard or as Barbara?
It was addressed to Richard Stevens. Oh. Stevens was spelled wrong. But
well, P-H-E-N-S.
Close enough. Yeah.
Well, they got like close.
You can't have everything.
What? Jesus. Barbara, we got 3 hours. Come down.
Woman.
You know what's funny?
Not this show at this moment.
My grandmother, her maiden name was Stevens with a P-H, and she married Stevens with Steven. A V. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that's kind of cool. Crazy. That's a little bit of well, not really Barbara trivia, but it's interesting. Mm-hmm.
She didn't have to change the initials on her monogram.
She just doesn't want to get new towels.
They were helpful.
Oh, even Buddy's listening.
Oh, why?
Buddy, if you got time to listen, why aren't you fucking here, bitch?
Yeah, I've got to do sports. That's going to be painful.
Don't lose your shit, Kat. Clayton doesn't have the studio covered for
and
that.
I only do that stuff at work, so keep it in your pants.
Not okay.
Yeah, you know, you can take the entire seal off of it.
You can just shut up.
God, have you ever seen somebody having so much difficulty getting peanuts out of a jar?
That's, you know how much people pay me to take the whole lid off something? Jesus
I don't know.
Christ.
Hello, ladies. Hello, ladies and cat, according to Buddy.
Oh, he's sweet.
There nice. He is. All right, so did we cleared this up? Kids, you brought them back. You went camping.
Oh, my
camping.
God, I thought there we were, moved on from me like an hour ago.
No, we did, but I just want to make sure we wrapped up with whatever you had to do.
Did you bring back the same kids?
Yes.
Okay.
How much? And beer?
Now, there's a follow-up question worth asking. Yeah.
You can't just start bringing kids home.
As it turns out, there's not a lot of people camping in September on a Thursday night, so we were virtually the only people in the campground. Nice. So.
Now, that just sounds like a serial killer waiting to happen.
Sure. Yeah.
And then we hid behind the chainsaws.
But yeah, no incidents. Some
that could be your new segment.
What?
Hiding.
Serial killer or lesbian bartender. You could just describe different behaviors.
Oh right down
so many
the lesbian bartenders as another group he just lost.
Damn it!
I tried to throw shit and leave last night, and I got reprimanded.
Trisha Minnell may be in that group.
And you think having a token one at the table would help? But No.
And when Marnie's here, she's a former lesbian bartender. You pick which one she's the former of. So
yeah, she doesn't like when we ask her about lesbian bed death. So we're gonna have to go with bartender.
It's a real issue. It's a problem.
I tried to ask her the first three shows.
I know. She was have nothing
you
to do with
it. You can't ask her about
sex. You got to work through it.
Oh, no. You cannot ask Marnie about sex. She does not enjoy that.
Talk about a woman who's not in touch with her.
She doesn't enjoy the sex or the talking.
We don't know. We don't know. We don't know.
Based on the blushing.
Maybe both.
Molly's inquiring about KOA campground locations up north from the chat room.
Is that Molly Montgomery?
Molly, yes. Could you just?
She's so funny. She's one of my favorite people when she pops up on my Facebook because it's always funny and biting.
She always has something funny to say. She would be here, but she works on Tuesday nights. Except
Kat makes her work.
But she's got time to listen in.
Yeah, because Kat fixed.
I want to work where she works.
Well,
but
she fixed
Cash-in Country
Wi-Fi up in the DJ booth at Cash-in so she can get the show.
I did.
Just puts it on autoplay and listens to us for 3 hours.
So Molly does what every DJ has done since 2004. Just hit play on the iPod and listen to something else.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Oh, I don't take requests. It's a set list.
Exactly my words.
When that little fucker at Stacy says that to me, and he's up there with his headphones, you know he's watching TV. You know what I mean? Acting like he's mixing something together. Yeah.
Any one of them.
Please, bitch. I have that same playlist. You got enough genius.
Is that... But what was those that's what I call music 2004?
Yeah, exactly.
CD compilations? Yes.
The cool sounds of 1998.
Uh-huh. Brought to you by
Phaedra.
Yeah.
Or Musicland.
And I asked for something kind of like cutting edge and new on a night that he was playing dance music. And he was like,
Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, no. Yeah, I did. It's called like West End Girls.
Or something like that.
Something. Really hip. Really on point. All right, yes. Barbara.
Barbara, what have you been up to?
Well, this is breaking news.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. You can't. We have. Hang on. We can't do. We have to do this.
Well, this is breaking news.
Yes.
My neighbor of 2 years and I, we are thinking about moving into a house together.
Yeah. Oh.
Do they know it?
Fun. Yes, we went and looked at it this weekend.
Very good.
How exciting.
It's over, I don't want to tell exactly.
Well, no, but I mean, give us a general.
I don't want Molly Montgomery showing up.
She will.
Soaking up free Wi-Fi.
Sure.
Get it where you can, Molly. Get it where you can.
I'm only here to download large files.
That's okay. Well, I have the fastest internet you can possibly get from Cox.
I actually do that outside of Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts.
Do you actually go in?
You can
I sit outside.
You can come here. I got a
I could.
I'm just saying.
I have internet at home, too, but I mean, if I'm out and about and I need to hook up. Starbucks.
Anyway, all right. So
you're
looking at this house.
Yeah, it's in the Idlewild district. It's like around 11th Street and Clarendon. great house.
Leroy Aswanya lives over there. He's been there for years. He really likes it.
This is like a big house with a huge yard.
So Lucy can run around.
Yeah,
good.
And my neighbor has a dog, so we're thinking about that. We have to like decide tonight when she gets home because we have to
It's quickly. You have to do it quickly.
Yeah. So I'm really thinking about it.
Oh, that's cool. That's good. Apartment, because you've been in apartments for quite some time.
I've been in this apartment for 6 years, and I've been living by myself for about 10 or 12. That's my problem right now, is I can't decide if I want to live with somebody.
That's a big step. That's a big thing, because I made that decision in the fourth day of September this year that I couldn't, and the packing has begun.
Where are you moving?
No, I will remain here. I don't want to move this fucking studio again. Done it three times just in the past couple of years.
So that's new for me.
Yeah, it is. That's big news. Yeah. That's big news. So, and so if the decision is made for a yes, when does the move would potentially take place?
November 1st.
Wow.
Wow.
Right after the Halloween-y.
Mm-hmm. And the AIDS walk.
Yeah. Well, at least you get those things out of the way.
Yeah.
And then boom. All right.
But it'd be really nice to have Thanksgiving there because it's seriously a huge house, a huge yard. There's a fire pit. It's incredible.
Very cool. Well, nice. Well,
very exciting.
We all will give good thoughts towards that, Barbara. And it would help to get you out of my neighborhood because you live really close to me here.
Come by too often. No.
You don't mean that, but I won't be as likely.
No,
to
but by the way, I have the air compressor all full so I can check your tires before you leave because I figured that's going to be on the list of things to do.
Thank you.
You and Alfred's perk. Alfred's. I'm what called
like
you Fred.
I like that you just. Well, a lot of people call me Fred, so that's all right. I don't mind that.
I've never heard anybody call you Fred.
Back home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's Alfred, so it really it comes up more than it should.
Oh.
But it's another one of those ones I just made my peace with, and I just answer to it, like I don't really care.
Like bitch?
Yeah, well, actually, I embrace that one. I don't think it's really a nickname if you thought of it yourself. Well,
there is that. Now, Perkins, you just came back from a whirlwind tour of the Los Angeles area.
I was in beautiful, beautiful downtown Pasadena, which I have to fully endorse Harrison's move there because she already works there, but now she's moving from her apartment in Echo Park. She's moving to I think she's moving to Altadena, but it's just literally higher Dina.
Hi Dina.
So she's moving up there, and it's a lovely little area. So I went to see her thing, you know, because I would stay in Pasadena to be close to where she was moving.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't sure of the timing of her move. I think she moves next weekend, but I went there to, of course, see Harrison. But then the Grammy Museum has the Donna Summer exhibit on the fourth
Coincidentally.
Floor.
Coincidentally,
yeah. Well, no, I was going there for that. I don't think anybody was harboring any illusions that Donna Summer wasn't the lure. I love Harrison though. There's no way to say that, though, coming out completely wrong. But so we did the museum.
The Grammy Museum?
The Grammy Museum.
It's so cool, isn't it?
It's really a lot of fun, and I would happily go back there and spend... I could lose myself for a day there. Lots of cool exhibits. We went to the Pasadena Playhouse, which is a charming little theater in Pasadena.
And
a lot of good things have come in and out of there. We saw Kiss Me, Kate, which was supposed to have Wayne Brady, but he was on vocal rest, so we saw... an understudy who was very good, and the cast was amazing singing, really nice orchestrations. It was kind of like their black theater. I don't. That's how they were pushing it as part of the black theater experience. So it was an all black cast doing Kiss Me, Kate, which I found kind of funny because when I saw it on Broadway 14 years ago, it was Brian Stokes Mitchell and Maren Mazzi. So it was kind of mixed. So, I mean, I had already seen someone of color playing whatever his name is.
It's hard to tell exactly what color Brian Stokes Mitchell is.
When he wants to be more black, he adds the Stokes Mitchell. When he wants to be, more vague, he's Brian Mitchell. You know, the Stokes Mitchell is when he's being more ethnic.
I'm trying to remember what I saw. I think I saw him in Women on the Verge. I think he was in that.
And he's an amazing performer. I had seen him in Ragtime with Maren Mazzi, and LaChance had taken over for Audra McDonald. And I was so...
Did you call her Audrey?
Audra.
Okay.
I don't know if I did, but I know who she is. Because she comes up, and she's going to come up in entertainment, too. So I had seen Ragtime and been, so blown away by Maren Mazzi and Brian Stokes Mitchell, that when they came back the next year to do Kiss Me, Kate, because other people loved them, too, I went to New York especially to just to see them again in something else. And it was a fantastic show. So I really enjoy this show. And this was really great voices. They had done some really nice, like, music arrangements to fit the different voices and to make it a different, because it was supposed to be like the Negro Theater Presents. Like when they when they dropped the banner, the time that I saw it, it was, and I can't think of the main character's name, but he's playing an actor, and it says written by, directed, starring, and then it has a little asterisk, and it says, you know, based on William Shakespeare. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about. So it was all this thing, and this was the Negro Theater Group Presents Kiss Me, you know, Kiss Me Kate, or. So it was just, it was very charming, but the staging, and it was a really famous director, Sheldon Epps. Like, this is like a world famous director. He's directed sitcoms, he's directed theater, he's multiple award winning. It was one of the most boring stagings of a show I have ever seen. So you have these people like giving it all and like going full tilt on the performances, and then they would just walk in a circle. Or they would stand completely still and deliver their lines, and I'm like, oh my God, who is directing this? Like, for the whole second act, I wanted to be, can we just take a break and talk to the director? Because you are killing people in the middle of fantastic numbers. There was two, like, show-stopping numbers that the audience was like, oh. Like, you just didn't know what to do with them, because they're just, they would just all lose animation and stare at you, and like, oh my God, who directed this shit? And then I went home and Googled it. I'm like, this is a famous guy. But it was still, but it's still, it's great music. It's a lot of fun, very tongue-in-cheek. And I'm sure Wayne Brady is very fun, because you're supposed to be playing a megalomaniac. So he really is. With everything that he could do, I'm sure he added something different than the understudy did. And then we saw, oh, Harrison, help me with the name of that group. We saw Thievery Corporation with Stephen Marley as the opening act. And it was really fun. We were at the Greek. I had never been to the Greek, and neither had Harrison. And those of you who remember Neil Diamond's great triumph, A Hot August Night, live at the Greek from the 70s. It's on my list of things I've always wanted to go to.
Okay.
Based on something that was on HBO in the 70s, which was A Hot August Night, Live at the Greek.
Not the terrible movie, Get Him to the Greek?
Same theater, but a horrible movie. But it's a lovely, lovely outdoor theater, very similar to the Hollywood Bowl, not as fancy, a little bit more intimate. And it's up in the hills again above, I think it's a... above Hollywood, just above Hollywood, and it was a beautiful night, beautiful cool night, and both.
Yeah. LA gets their cooler nights before we do, and we're just now getting ours.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful night.
But plus, you're up in the hills, so you're just you're little up high, and it's really fun to hear it. Everybody around you is smoking pot. There's people like dressed as complete fools dancing in the aisles to shit that you should never dance to, but they're so stoned they think it's dance music, and it just got funny, but. And I was talking all night about needing a grown-up jacket, because all I have is hoodies. I haven't worn, like, an adult, like, jacket, like, outerwear, because we don't need them here, so I haven't had one in years. So this guy walks in a little bit in front of me. He's bald. He's a little heavy. He's clearly older. But he's in front of me, and he's wearing, like, a sweater jacket, which I decided immediately is not what I mean by a grown-up jacket, because he looked like an idiot.
Mr. Rogers.
What a handsome man on a date with someone, and clearly an early in the relationship date.
Because he still cared.
Yeah. Well, no, because he was being held hostage and forced to dance. Like, she had him in a vice-like grip, because this was her last chance to have a boyfriend before being killed by terrorists. Because you know how there's that thing of what'll happen first? Will a woman over 40 get a date or be killed by terrorists? And it's kind of neck and neck at a certain age.
At this point, yeah.
So she has her arm around him, forcing him to dance, and she started very, and I noticed it almost right away during the opening act. She started taking selfies, and it had a very, I'm on my first date that I met online with this guy who is, he was kind of handsome, but maybe a new camera, so she didn't know how to use it, so there was like a couple selfies going on, but they were in front, like the section in front of us, but they were the back row of their section, we were the front row of ours, and it kept flashing in my eyes, and I was like, learn how to use your fucking camera. And then I kind of ignored it for a second. And then, like, a couple of minutes later, a couple songs later, Harrison's like, okay, she's on 9. That's the 9th fucking selfie. And I'm like, okay, I had given up on it because I was so annoyed that I'm clearly no longer paying attention. But the flash keeps hitting my eyes. Then we get, like, into the main act, the Thievery Corporation, and it starts anew. And all of a sudden, everyone behind us, like, we're in the whole back section of the Greek theater is like, stop with the selfies. Live in the now. Be present. And everyone's just, but she's oblivious because she just keeps taking, and it's the same picture.
Oh,
she's
Jesus.
Like a foot taller than the guy she's with. He's clearly being held hostage with this arm, being forced to dance. And it got funnier and funnier and funnier. As I'm getting strobe lights in my eyes, but not from the concert, and a contact high that I will not soon forget. Because I started to get, like, watch the lights, and, you know, there's the big lights coming from behind you, and you could see the pot smoke. It says no smoking everywhere.
And it's just raising.
And everybody, like, even Harris now, and she sees a smoker, someone is smoking, and she gets all offended and dramatic about someone smoking. We were literally surrounded by 30,000 pot smokers, not one word out of her mouth. But somebody six floors above us in a balcony, someone is smoking. I'm like, all right.
Harrison says, don't forget to talk about the Pop-Tart from Chango's, and also she counted 16 selfies.
She kept going. There's a place called Chango's just down from Echo Park that has homemade Pop-Tarts that were to fucking die for.
Not these things that we're going to have later?
No, these were filled with what might have been real fruit. But, oh my God, I didn't make fun of her in person. I waited to do it on this. But her with the smell of, she did it twice through the course of the trip where she was like, someone is smoking. I'm like, we just sat in a theater where literally everyone around us has a pipe and a bong. Like, cigarette smoke six floors above us was the game ender. So that was it. So it was a really fun trip and a fun way back, and we crammed a lot into those 3 days.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Well, I saw your post. We were going everywhere, and I'm like, wow, Al's checking in everywhere.
Yeah.
You really?
It was fun to check. I don't check in a lot, so Harrison, be lucky, because I don't do that a lot with people. I usually don't tell people where I am.
That's true.
And we had a nice day in Santa Monica, walked around.
Oh, I didn't see one of your pictures.
The end of the pier that was completely wrong. I must have hit, like, the sepia button, because that picture is so shitty.
And I noticed it was different. I thought maybe it was really overcast for some reason.
No, and I was taking the picture because it was one of those rare days where, like, the sky was perfectly blue and the ocean looked like Hawaii blue.
Not in that picture.
And I saw the picture. I'm like, that just looks like I took a picture of fucking smog. So I must have hit some color button.
Congratulations on that. Oh, my heavens. Well, I haven't done anything overly exciting that I think of. I got all new tires on the car today, which is unexpected and wonderful at the same time. It's amazing when you get the right tires on a car. And granted, company car, I didn't put the tires on previous. Completely silence when it rolls down the street. I couldn't get over how much noise that fucking car made with whatever tires were on it before. Some performance bullshit tire, whatever it was. Completely quiet. Makes a very big difference.
The word performance tire just means you're going to hear a lot of goddamn noise and you're supposed to be happy about it.
No, these are the same size, but smooth and quiet. I'm very happy about that. There's that, because I'm driving the car to Vegas in a week, so I needed to have that taken care of.
I've never kept a car long enough to have any kind of tire problem. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
How fun for you.
My little truck that I've got sitting across the street is like 25 years old, and she's had a few different new shoes.
You know, I signed 17 waivers to get in that thing. Like, come on, wait a minute. I got to sign another line.
There's no airbags, but there's seatbelts and good tires. And I got to tour, term may be an overzealous word to use. One of our local restaurants is moving at the beginning of the year. And I went, Fez is moving downtown. You remember where Portland's was?
Mm-hmm.
Right, literally across the street from the Roosevelt light rail station. They are moving to Portland's, which I just found out because I'd never been to Portland's. Closed in May of this year. And they are taking over that space, completely renovating it. So I was there for a pre-construction meeting to figure out where stuff is going to go so that I can advise them.
Exciting.
So they're moving down there, which is kind of nice because literally you can jump on the light rail. Mm-hmm. And go right to their front doorstep, and then you could
can get the light rail from in front of the old Fez and right into the new.
No, not quite. No, not quite. But I see what you're getting at.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that it's right in front, so I literally can walk to the corner here, get on it, and shoot down it if I.
It's a great location, and you have rent thing about the business on the bottom to help support the apartments on top.
It really is a great space. They're actually going to be 20 seats larger than they are in the current location, so they'll be able to accommodate more and a lot of outdoor patio area. So I'm looking forward to it for them because
and that starts a nice trend with the Vig Fillmore.
The Vig Fillmore's there.
Chibo, all those outdoor restaurants down there. And Portland's is a really nice space. I went there quite a few times.
I'd never been.
Portland's and Chevron's.
Chevron's.
Which is now Pizza People's
Pizza
Pub.
Pizza Pub.
Fuckers that close it. Who closes a pizza place at 10 o'clock on a Friday? Motherfuckers.
Bring it up at the meeting. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have anything to do with there.
Apparently the pizza people.
They're clean copper clappers.
It is fucking communism. hit that Aretha thing.
The Aretha thing. I forgot what we were doing. Oh, it's Aretha going what?
What in the hell is going on?
That's exactly what I said when I walked in there and they were closed for pizza at 11 o'clock on a Friday.
What was it you said? You said this.
What in the hell is going on?
Because I was drunk enough to be in the black woman phase.
What in the hell?
What's going on? Oh. And the best part about that is she's singing a song from Les Miserables. That's the best part.
Oh, I dreamed a dream. Right. Okay.
I dreamed a dream. And what the hell is going on?
The funny thing about that, when it starts out, all I can hear is, oh, why can't I think of her name? The woman on Britain's Got Talent.
Susan Boyle?
Susan Boyle. All I can... when I hear that song start...
Oh.
I dreamed a dream, da-da-da-da, whatever how it goes, and I think of Susan Boyle, and...
There was a time when men were kind.
And Susan Boyle didn't sing my hit song. Yeah. I hate her. That woman, she, like, seriously, get her some sugar or something, because there is something seriously wrong with her.
I get offended whenever I buy something on Amazon and it recommends her to me.
I know.
It actually happens.
More often than not.
Yeah.
That's for the gay window lickers. I'm sorry, but that is not right. Have you heard her Christmas album?
I don't. No.
You will recommend Crucifying Christ again after you hear that, because it's like, oh my God, end this season now. It's horrible. I had somebody that wanted to hear it while they were in a coma. And the family was like, play this. I'm like, oh. So I put it on, and like halfway through, I'm like, stop, no. All my good thoughts about Christmas. Like, this is Sarah Palin's War on Christmas. She heard this CD.
Yikes.
No joy. No intonation. What's the word? No inflection. Like, it's just, oh, holy night.
Huh. Well, she sold a ton of rent. People love her for some reason.
Because she's white bread.
Oh. I don't think anyone actually.
What the hell is going on?
This is actually what I think. This is what I think about her. I don't think people actually like her. I think people just buy that CD for someone who they think will like her. Like that's what you would get your mom. You would buy that for your mom.
Yeah, you'll love
if you
this
were
woman.
Mad at her.
My mom would not. My mom would not like that.
But you would just like you would buy it for your grandma, or you would. Sure. That's what I think.
Well, yeah. Maybe you're right.
grandma would listen.
We want Virginia to go into the light. Let's start with this CD and see if this helps.
Now what is, this is? Now let's just get into the middle of this. Oh wait, this is this is Susan Boyle and Elvis. I don't know how the fuck that came to be, but I'm not listening anymore of that.
He's working a lot this year because he's on Barbara's CD.
I know.
Right, yeah. Oh, she's singing with him on this.
The funny part about this is he would never even be seen in the same room as her if they were together.
Oh, because he was anti-drugs and anti-fat people while he was snorting a line of coke
and fat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's like me. There she is, letting it go.
Yikes.
Daddy, make it stop.
Yeah. I just like sing in exultation. Okay, now it's like ABBA. When ABBA used to sing and actually we'll go with Celine Dion because she's a better example. Like, you can just tell when Celine Dion sings that she just does not understand fucking English because she sings everything in the wrong inflection.
Sure.
Like, she just never has the point to the song down. Kind of like with ABBA, but ABBA's lyrics were so goofy that who knew what the hell, like, even in English, you didn't know what the fuck that meant.
There's that.
But Susan Boyle, you just think, is she from another planet and just hasn't figured out, like, what the English language means?
No, that's pretty
from
much
what
it.
I know of Susan Boyle, it may be true.
It probably is. I don't know, she's got... What did they decide?
What's wrong with her?
Yeah,
I don't think she's ever been properly.
I think
it's
just depression.
No, there was a diagnosis, and I don't remember what the hell it was. But there they did.
It's nothing that a plucking can't help.
Hey, by
a
the
tweezing.
Way, well, by the way, I read or saw something. Those Brooke Shields eyebrows from the earliest, that's all the rage this fall.
It's coming back.
And they were showing how to make your eyebrows do that. I'm like, why would you do that?
Yeah, if that's not natural, don't go for it.
Yeah, no, I don't understand why.
I mean, if you got them, use them. But
sure.
Oh, no, they were showing how. And then you put gel on them and you brush them up. And I'm like, no, we're not doing that.
Well, that's how they used to make women in the 40s be villains. Was they would, if they brushed your eyebrows up and out, you were more of a heroine, you were the pretty woman, but they would then style them down to give you like that heavy brow, and that's how you knew who a villain was.
Heavy brow.
That's how they styled their eyebrows.
Heavy brow.
Thank you. Is it Charles Osborne? What's his name?
That sounds right.
Hey, Charles.
No, the Osborne. Robert Osborne.
Robert Osborne.
Oh, Robert Osborne.
That always has like stupid trivia that I like shit my pants to get to. Like, oh my God, I'll watch TV. I'll go to the bathroom in the living room just so I can watch Robert Osborne.
Incidentally, Susan Boyle, Asperger's syndrome.
Asperger's. I knew there was something that was
see,
going
but
on.
If I said it would sound mean.
Well, of course, because you're Al.
Because you would say retarded.
No.
Yeah, no, no.
There's a little bit of truth to that.
I'm going to give it that.
I save that for the Palins.
Sure.
And when Marnie's right, because you've got 2 or 3 weeks.
No, but when someone's on that level that you know there's something wrong, I would never use that word.
Well, okay,
I would use it for somebody who's like just being stupid.
Well, we've wasted the first 45 minutes of this show doing that. So we'll be right back with headlines coming up in just moments right here on what is it? Oh, it's Q-Talk America.
You're listening to Q-Talk America.
Are you ready for this? It's a 30-second dance break.
Is the Q-Talk America Radio Network.
All right, go. Look at the headlines on What Is This? A Tuesday evening with Q-Talk America. It's the show. Exciting stories that may or may not mean anything to you. Donkey zoo sex scandal.
One rich motherfucker makes working parents feel like assholes.
Boy suspended over bad candy.
Turns out Swiss researchers are size queens.
Trucker holds frozen chicken for hostage.
Cat lovers across California will soon face a crappy dilemma.
Mom jailed after baby is found in the trunk.
Fourth DUI, also known as the flash your ass DUI.
And hey, remember that kid with the yearbook photo with his cat? Well, it just got 1,000% better. These and more stories coming right now.
And I didn't even make my picture yet.
May I just?
You can.
Pruitt just found in his own special way. Now that's where I might mean retarded. But I love you, Pruitt. He just found the propeller cat and put it on his Facebook page. But I wasn't somewhere where I could really go off on and tell him to go back and listen to
our show,
to the show, and all the joy of the cat with the propeller
flying fur. The fur is flying. That's what it was called. Flying. The fur is flying.
So Matt, I love you, and I love that picture.
All right, here we go with some of our lovely headlines. Well, Napoleon is back with his lovely Atoncia. The two amorous donkeys were separated because of an outcry over their lovemaking. Well, they've been reunited back in a zoo in Poland.
And it feels so good.
I'm sure it does. Yeah. Yeah. The couple, together for 10 years.
There's a new accent.
They got into trouble.
Write down barnyard animals.
The couple, who had been together for 10 years, got into a little trouble when mothers at the zoo expressed outrage that their children had to witness their mating. Well, local conservative official Linda Dudziak took up their cause and persuaded the director of the zoo to have the animals put into separate pens. Well, the zoo later acknowledged that that was a big mistake Thursday, and they said that the donkeys are again in one pen after only about a week apart. Quote, "It was never our intention for any animals to feel uncomfortable because of their natural behaviors," the zoo said in a statement. The interruption of the long-standing romance turned into a national news item in Poland in the past few days. Nearly 7,000 people signed a petition to have them reunited. Two fan pages appeared on Facebook devoted to their cause, with a total of nearly 10,000 likes and photos of the donkeys doing the nasty.
Oh.
Like. Experts weighed in, saying that the separation could actually hurt the psychological well-being of the animals. Politicians were asked about it on the country's leading news programs. Quote, "Animals separated by sex into two different cages? It's complete idiocy." Idiocy. It didn't look right.
There it is.
Said Stefan Nizalawakowski, a lawmaker in the governing party.
We'll never know.
You can read it in a minute, fucktard. Yeah. Even the spokesman for the Law and Justice, the conservative party that Dudziak belongs to, would not even come to her defense. "It's a level of absurdity that has been crossed to such an extent that I don't even want to hear or read any more about this."
The weird thing about that is that sounds uniquely, inherently American. I'm surprised that happened somewhere else.
In Poland.
Yeah, that sounds like something here.
In their decade together, the two donkeys have actually produced 6 offspring, including a 2-month-old named Taduz? Something. I can't pronounce what the fuck it is. European.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I just think it's funny. If you go to a zoo, this is what really got me about this. When you go to a zoo where animals are supposed to be in their, quote, natural habitat.
It's obscene. This is,
wouldn't you just expect to see it? I mean, why wouldn't...
When I tell you about the place north of San Diego, the San Diego Zoo North version, where it's like the feeding and breeding place, and we went to get on the little safari tour through the bigger game and all that stuff, And the lady at the beginning of the tour was like, the animals are kind of frisky today. So if you haven't had the talk with your kids,
do it now.
You got a couple seconds because every animal was fucking as we went down.
Oh.
And there was a giraffe, kind of like a teen giraffe or like an adolescent giraffe is the right word. Okay. I don't know how old it was. Was kind of like rubbing himself off on something. I mean, it was like every form of
love is in the air,
or in the tree.
And the best part was, is one of the drivers actually started singing that because it just got. By the time the third set of animals was just full on fucking, they're like, "Well, love is in the air." We all just went with it.
It's one thing when that happens at a zoo. It's a whole other one. It's a stoplight.
Yeah.
Well, where have you been driving?
Well,
Central Phoenix.
Around 11th Street and Clarendon.
Apparently. Of late.
Goodness gracious.
I'll turn this all over to Kat Carlson.
Well, a U.S. dad quit his job, giving up a massive salary after his 10-year-old daughter gave him a 22-point list outlining all the events he missed so far during the year.
Wow.
As the CEO of a $2 trillion global investment fund.
Bitch is going to be happy when she can't get braces. Mm-hmm.
Mohammed El I pronounce this
European.
He shocked the finance industry when he quit in January.
We're just getting to this now.
I know. Well, the thing is, it's all of a sudden all over everything, news and like talk radio's talking about it. The View was talking about it. Like it's everywhere.
All right.
Continuing on, he said it was about a year ago when he was repeatedly asking his daughter to brush her teeth, but she wasn't listening. When he asked her why, she responded with a list of 22 milestones he had missed, like the first day of school and the first soccer game of the season, and the school year wasn't yet over, he wrote. Oh, that's right. He wrote a blog article about it, which is why everyone's talking about it.
Oh, okay. So he did it, but now he's just talking about it.
Right.
Got it.
Because now he's
got
to make money.
Right.
Let's try this blogging thing.
Yeah. He says, I felt awful and got defensive. I had a good excuse for each missed event, travel, important meetings, an urgent phone call, sudden to-dos, but it dawned on me that I was missing an infinitely more important point. As much as I could rationalize it, as I had rationalized it, my work-life balance had gotten way out of whack, and the imbalance was hurting my very special relationship with my daughter. I was not making enough time for her. He continued on and explained he was struggling with the same thing so many parents do, the work-life balance. Not the work-rent balance.
Yeah.
Which everybody else has to do with.
Yeah, he's clearly
that's
not suffering
from that one.
Because
you know the severance package from a $1 trillion company is probably going to keep him comfortable for a while, yeah.
Quitting is something he was financially able to do.
There it is.
But he recognizes that most people don't have this luxury. He hopes companies will pay attention to improving work-life balances for their employees. He now manages a portfolio of part-time jobs that don't require as much travel, and he alternates mornings with his wife, taking their daughter to school, and he often picks her up from school. So far, he says it's been the right decision for me, and he's so grateful that it's providing him a greater opportunity to experience key moments in his daughter's life before they're gone all too quickly.
I don't know.
There's a good chance she won't be a stripper now.
Yeah. You know, there was a good chance that she wasn't going to be a stripper in the first place.
Right.
Being that dad was the CEO of the $2 trillion investment company.
Right. Because she would have then become a CEO of another company.
I'm not saying she wasn't going to be a high-class stripper.
But she'd be just be a ruthless cunt who just rules with, you know, just an iron fist in this because her daddy didn't love her.
Which, I mean, God bless him and fantastic for him. But the rest of the parents in the country...
Yeah, you know, quitting your job's not an option.
God only can. And it's so funny because...
suck it up, Buttercup. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
Just today, I picked the kids up from school, and they'd been at their dad's for the weekend, so it was kind of a long absence. And the oldest says to me, he says, "Do you have to go to work tonight?" And I said, "Well, no, I'm going to go do the radio show tonight." And he's like, "Oh, why are you always working?" I'm like, "Do you like having money in the house? Do you like having food?" Like, he was kind of almost trying to lecture me.
Because this show's really contributing to that.
Well, shh.
Yeah. Look, not old enough to get the receipts.
This is my equivalent of poker night with the buddies.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
If anybody ever asks, if anybody cares where I am.
Poker night.
At Clayton's house, yeah. Exactly.
Can we start that? Because that sounds like fun.
No. Table's not big enough.
Somebody invited me to a poker night recently. Totally, was it you?
Probably.
Was it?
Somebody on Facebook?
It might have been a bar thing.
Yeah, maybe. I think it was from you.
I might be in.
There's that. Well, this is where I wanted to
factor. You don't want to do that. It's outside and they all smoke constantly. It's like competitive smoking with cards.
All right. And that's where I get offended by smoking.
This is where I thought this is the story that I mentioned earlier that I thought you would factor into because of a television show that I didn't even know this was the topic of said show. A New Mexico mother says that her two young sons were suspended from school after taking candy inspired by the meth themed series Breaking Bad.
Oh!
According to KOA TV, Virginia Valdez says that the Reginald Chavez Elementary School in Albuquerque suspended the 10-year-old and the 9-year-old boy for 2.5 days, accusing the boys of being in possession of, quote, drugs. The blue candy is made to resemble the high-quality meth featured in the hit television series, which was filmed also in
Albuquerque.
Quote, it's not really drugs, it's candy, you know. I just think it's very unfair, Valdez told KOAT-TV. School officials said the boys were suspended for inappropriate and unacceptable behavior and disruption of the educational process. However, slips given to the boys to take home said the boys were suspended for, quote, bringing drugs to school. I didn't even know that's what the goddamn TV show was about.
Oh, my God. So first of all, I'm late to the game on Breaking Bad, but I'm obsessed with it. Seriously the most insane show.
I'm on the last
show.
Season. Don't ruin it for me.
Okay,
I'm on the
last season. I just ordered the last season just the other day. Like, so I should have it tomorrow or something. I've burned through seasons 1 through 5 in like a month. Uh-huh. I am obsessed with that show.
Yeah.
It is incredibly good. I know the whole world knows this. Don't talk shit about it.
Hooked me on the first season. I was like, what?
So what I get out of this story is I didn't realize there were varying degrees of meth.
Yeah.
But blue is apparently the good shit.
Well, it's not a real thing. It's part of the show.
Oh, it's a fictitious part of the show.
His meth is so pure. It's like 99.93 percent pure. Okay.
Because he's a chemistry teacher.
Yeah, he's a chemist. Oh.
So he takes his chemistry history and puts it to that.
It sounds horrible when you describe it. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why I never ever watched
fantastic.
It. But it is incredible.
I've tried
three times,
and I can't. Right. I hate Aaron Paul so much that I just have to just embrace him at some point because I acknowledge the writing and it's all. But if somebody would just tell me that Aaron Paul will get killed off, then I could watch it. But
not
he drives
bit,
me nuts.
If it makes you feel better,
he lives all the way to the finale.
He was supposed to die in the second season.
And really, maybe should have.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know what he... And I always say that. When people tell me that, like, an actor turns them off from something, I'm always so like, oh, get over that. But that's one
thing. I'm very that way sometimes.
Oh, well, that goes wrong. Because Jodie Foster and Angie Dickinson are two that I can't handle. I just can't. I want to take a bath after I see either one of them.
You know who I can't handle and it's not a problem anymore is Robin Williams. I've never been a fan of him at all. He would actually... That's one of those people that would turn me off.
Towards the end of the career, if I saw his name on a movie, I just instantly stayed away. Like, after Patch Adams and whatever the other god-awful thing was, I was like, okay, no more with Robin Williams in movies. Like, he has worn out. He got to go away.
Girl. Well, he took your word. And
But yeah, so Breaking Bad, it's all about that. And then the blue meth, it's actually candy on the show. That's what it's just sugar water. But it's the purest meth that they can make. But it's not really a thing because they would never really show you how to make meth on TV.
What I take away from the story, aside from the fact that I learned that's the blue is the pure, if you're a parent, and why would you not be involved in your kid's life enough to know that they're doing that, or not doing it, but I mean, like bringing it as a joke or whatever to school? Why would you permit that? Why would you not step in and be like, okay, that's a very bad choice, and you've made a bad decision? I mean, you have kids, Kat, so tell me, what would you, or how would you handle?
Clearly, I'm a better parent than these people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you take near beer to camping trips. I see. Yeah. You're good.
At Barbara's suggestion.
Yeah.
I actually do for the kids, though. I actually pick them up root beer and like glass bottles at the grocery store when it's like Beer Friday. I'm like, hey kids, it's time to, and we'd like sit in the driveway and drink beer.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm not that great of a parent.
What the hell?
I'm teaching agriculture to 9-year-olds.
Everybody learned that.
Sure. But no, I think that kids are an amazingly informative network in and of themselves. And so I don't know that I would blame the parents necessarily because like big kids talk to little kids, talk to littler kids, and then the message just kind of comes down. And you know, if somebody, like the kids that carried it may not even know what meth is or what Breaking Bad is. They just know that their friends thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's how I ended up taking a Playboy to second grade. Like, I didn't know why, but the boys were all about it.
I think we know why you took a Playboy to second grade.
I grew up in Utah. I didn't know what game was until I was 19.
We're going
to support
you on that. Yeah.
But so did the kid know it was supposed? Was he saying it was meth candy?
It doesn't say anything in the story about that. Doesn't say that at all.
You know they're selling candy cigarettes again.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Are they?
Is Joe Camel coming
as
back
candy
around?
Cigarettes?
Yeah. Right. I saw them at that candy shop next to Brand X when I was down there for AIDS Walk.
I've had absolutely nothing for smoking. I've never liked it, never like tried it once, just thought it was gross.
I loved it. I miss it every day.
But I did enjoy candy, and I don't really like candy that much either. But candy cigarettes, they had me. I got it, but it didn't
like
lead
a little
to,
bit chalky, a little bit minty.
Yeah, yeah, they were yummy, weren't they? It didn't lead to smoking in any way, shape, or form. Like I never, because everyone around me smoked, and it was so filthy,
so disgusting.
That this delightful little treat that I had once in a great while, because I wasn't a big candy person, was like it had nothing to do with the filthy smell of my uncle. You know what I mean? Like right. they were not in any way interchangeable. So there's a lot of that stuff.
Show
that
me
I
on the doll. Show yeah, me on the doll.
I don't get the leap that people make with that.
My mom caught me smoking, or caught us, like all the brothers and sisters, with a cigarette and smoking. And my mom made us eat the pack of cigarettes.
Oh wow.
So I've never smoked.
I had a friend whose mom did that to him, and he threw up all over everything. He was like, you got to clean that up.
Here, Mom. You're welcome.
Well, there were 9 of us assholes, so I only got a cig and a half.
I can't remember how many he said.
Hashtag youngest child problems.
Yeah. He might have eaten 1.5 and threw up for days. And his mom was like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
All right, boys and girls, it is the end of hour one. Hour two is coming up. The Drinking Word with Al Perkins coming just after this crossover. More headlines from Kat and I, and I'm sure Barbara will chime into something, and Al's got all kinds of shit to talk about. Plus, it's the Drinking Word, for God's sake. Stick around, won't you?
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening again, everybody. A little after 8 o'clock here in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for joining us. This is The Show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee, alongside with Kat Carlson. This week, Richard Stevens, also known as Barbara Seville.
Hello!
Just don't ask Facebook about it. And Al Perkins right here, rounding out the cast as we do each and every Tuesday. Oh, my God. So many things coming your way, like, things you might actually enjoy. We're going to eat Pop-Tarts later. That's exciting. You ate almost all the rest.
I'm eating one now.
Oh, are you? What is that? You've got a bunch of muffins and...
Muffins and...
point at her muffin.
These are gummy letters. I thought we could spell dirty words with
gummy.
Them.
Oh, that's
Haribo gummy.
Oh,
gummy letters.
They were lifesavers. Pass me one of them.
Gummy
fuckers.
Letters. We're going to make some Pop-Tarts. We're going to eat gummy things. And Richard has a whole thing of muffins of some sort.
I am a late arrival.
I thought we were going
to
be locked in or something.
No, we're not locked in. We have freedom to run around the house.
It might start raining again sometime in the next month.
Oh, I think we're done with rain for a good long time. I think so, but I'm happy about that.
That's not a fresh alphabet. And they taste slightly of weed.
I like how Al put something new in his mouth, and it's like the whole world just changed for you.
It's all right. I'm new to the gummy world, because I was not a kid
Welcome
that ate
aboard.
Candy. So since I didn't get into candy till I was like 40. And
just a day ago.
I just found gummy bears.
Gummy.
The rainbow colored carnage. But oh my God, those grape gummy
Good
bears,
stuff, eh?
That's a thing of fucking beauty.
Swedish fish and cinnamon bears are where it's at for me.
Oh, I love cinnamon bears.
But this, I might be chewing this for a while.
It's all right.
Just take your teeth out. Enjoy it.
They are called gummy bears, so maybe that's the way you learn it. Beginning of hour two, as we do each and every week, we start it with a little thing we call the drinking word. We have a little disclaimer so that we don't get sued, so here you go.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
What?
I should not find this word this funny, but I do.
Okay.
Rapier.
Rapier.
R-A-P-I-E-R?
R-A-P-I-E-R. As in your wit.
As in,
yeah.
Rapier wit.
Now you have two choices. It's wit and keen insight, or it's a straight two-edged sword with a narrow pointed blade designed especially for thrusting.
It's curved, isn't it? Isn't it like a...
Nope, straight two-edged sword. I think I just said it.
Sword. Sword. Did you say sword?
Sword. S-words. I'll take S-words.
My cool for whip. 500. You're cool whip.
Oh, my. Joel Ratner has been sending me all of the best quotes of Sean Connery on Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL. And when the category is really... It's S-words and swords. And the answer is saber. Just about fucking losing my mind. The rapists and his famous therapists. Famous titties instead of famous titles.
He said appetite that's ape tits.
I'll take like, ape tits for 400. At least,
like once every other week, he sends me. I gotta find out what today's was that he sent me. And I love it that he comes up as the Jew in my phone.
Are they on the list?
Now they are.
Now they're brand new to the list.
God's
chosen people. That's really what it should say. God's chosen person should come up instead of the Jew.
The Jew.
Say the whole word. That's a joke from Community. Say the whole word. Stop saying Jew.
Just please stop saying Jew.
I'll take the penis mightier instead of the pen is mightier.
The penis mightier. The penis mightier.
Oh, Sean Connery's rapier wit.
Oh.
But I just love rapier. It's a little rapier than you meant it to be.
It sure is.
While I don't find anything funny about rape, I love the term rapey. I think rapey is funny.
It's kind of funny. I find it just a little rapey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an effective adjective.
So drinking word is rapier, like rapier wit or a 3-inch... Straight sword for thrusting.
For thrusting. That just...
Or if you just like to use the word thrusting, I think that's enough.
Speaking of thrusting,
yes.
Researchers at a Swiss university said that this year's giant penis blossom is the largest the plant has bloomed since it started flowering in 2011.
Yay!
Yay! It's true. What?
I don't feel so bad. I listened back to last week's and I was like, I really don't pay attention when I'm there.
None of us do.
Scientists at the University of Basel's Botanical Garden announced Sunday.
Basil,
perhaps.
I just wanted to make it rapier.
Oh, shit. Got a drink. Can I have a gummy lighter?
Yeah. I'll take S-words for $5.
Can I have ape tits for $1,000?
Scientists at the University of Basel's Botanical Garden announced Sunday the giant penis blossom, an exotic plant native to the Sumatra equatorial rainforest in Indonesia.
That's what I call mine, too.
Blossomed to a height of 100.4 inches, besting its previous blooms of 90.6 in 2012 and 80 inches in 2011.
I see why they call them that.
Yeah. Data for...
Are we Googling penis blossom?
I am.
I feel like we're going to get in trouble.
There was a picture, but go ahead. All right. Google.
I'm going to Google now.
Data for last year's bloom, if it had one, was not released by the researchers. It happens all the time.
Last year's penis was much better. I'm sorry.
The world record for a giant penis, or Titan Arum...
Is rapier, yeah.
Titan
you're right.
Arum is much rapier. Was set in 2003 when researchers at the University of Bonn in Germany unveiled a 107.9-inch high bloom.
Ouch.
Mm. The plant is also sometimes known as a corpse flower for the unsavory odor it emits during flowering.
That one.
Oh, the corpse flower.
Like, it smells like death.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that was those were the two.
Giant penis doesn't ring a bell, but corpse flower.
Yeah. Oddly enough.
No.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, that's lesbian bed death right there.
There.
If people get in bed with you and think, wow, corpse blossom.
Something died.
So there it is. Record-breaking.
Record-breaking penis blossom.
Did you look it up? Did you see
it? No, I haven't.
No, penis blossom.
I know it now.
Oh, do you?
Oh, look at that.
I provided a link in the chat room.
It's huge. Oh, did you?
Thank you. Because penis blossom went all wrong. No, yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah.
And Molly says that her mom makes a disgusting, I'm editorializing here, a jello aquarium with gummy fish, gummy sharks, and turtles. That really sounds horrible.
I'm sure they don't float.
Mama don't like jello. But according to the Urban Dictionary, a cock blossom is a colorful ejaculate stemming from the male penis, usually secondary to an STD or STI.
Not what we're looking for.
When you get a minute, God. Just look up the Abraham Lincoln or the Dirty Pirate.
I'll do it now.
The Abraham Lincoln is just filthy, and it takes a long time to describe, but the Dirty Pirate, where they come in your eye and you go, Arr! There are nights at work where all we do is if look up could, names on Urban Dictionary.
Problems
dictionaries.
Uniquely not lesbian for 100.
But if you could actually incorporate that into Talk Like a Pirate Day, you'd be good. I'd be great.
Come walk around ejaculating in people's eyes.
Come aboard.
That is disgusting.
Which one?
The Abraham Lincoln. Oh.
And it'll never leave your mind. You will never look
would
at a
$5
bill
with the listeners?
Okay, I wouldn't. Right. Google, I am going to provide a link.
You're an enabler.
Every time you pay with a $5, you're going to want to wash your hands twice.
I don't know what that means.
What
I'm
a
afraid.
Stinking beauty.
Oh, let's move on, shall we, to chicken Please. In a truck. Well, a truck in Missoula, Montana is dripping of rancid juices from thousands of pounds of rotting chicken as it sits in a... Sits in the heat attracting flies this past Thursday at a Western Montana truck stop where an Idaho Trucking Company employee abandoned the trailer altogether. The driver left the trailer containing approximately 37,000 pounds of frozen chicken near the Flying J truck stop west of Missoula, Montana, after the company refused his requests for more money to deliver the load to its destination.
Was the company Carlson Logistics?
No, it was not.
Okay, good.
The chicken was worth an estimated $80,000. The truck was discovered this past Tuesday, which would have been, I think, last Tuesday, actually. It may have been left there for more than about a month. Napa, Idaho Police Sergeant Joe Ramirez said, law enforcement officers are searching for the driver. He is a 42-year-old man named Christopher Hall, who had oddly been wanted for a parole violation and now faces possible theft charges. Hall picked up the trailer in Springdale, Arkansas on August 20th and was supposed to deliver it to Kent, Washington the following couple of days. Hall reportedly texted Dixie River Freight Incorporated several times saying that he needed more money to deliver it, and the company refused to pay him until he delivered the load. He apparently then abandoned the trailer at the truck stop, according to the
this
police.
He's got a big load in chicken. I'm worried.
Right. Now, the trailer.
After reading the Abraham Lincoln, I'm very concerned.
The trailer's refrigeration unit apparently continued running for several days until the fuel ran out. Well, on Thursday, the trailer was
what is this story about?
Frozen chicken in a trailer.
It's gone bad.
On Thursday, the trailer was
if
found.
If anyone could appreciate bad meat, it would be you, Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been face down in it so many times.
On Thursday, the trailer was pictured surrounded by sawhorses, crime scene tape, and flies. As truck stop temperatures threatened to reach 90 degrees for a second day straight. Alicia Johnson of the Missoula City County Health Department said Dixie Rivers Trucking Insurance Company was in charge of cleaning up the mess, and it's not a simple job. It involves getting a landfill prepared to receive the load.
Oh, Lord.
Johnson told the Missoulian on Thursday they probably have to dig a separate hole for this.
The worst part is, all I keep hearing you say is the load between reading what a Simba is from Urban Dictionary and the Abraham Lincoln and knowing what the pirate is. Yeah. So I'm reading the Simba and you just keep shouting the load into my ear and I'm actually dying.
Now, there's a possibility of freezing the load, but that could make it harder to offload its frozen as it's all frozen together.
The lesbians are lining up for the frozen load.
Shannon Therlop.
We can have children and not have to meet him.
Shannon Therlop, the environmental health supervisor with the health department, said it would be nice to be able to move the trailer just once, but people don't want rotten chicken juice all over their cars if it's transported down the highway. He said there are things that are in raw chicken that can make you sick, and we don't want someone to accidentally get on their hands and then ingest it. So there is a dirty, rotten load of decomposing chicken in Missoula, Montana. Oh, cheese and rice. I knew when I read it the first time that regardless of what you were looking up on that, even earlier today, I'm like, he's going to take this story and run with it.
This to Simba someone. After you come on his or her back, you swipe your thumb in it, turn them around, and wipe your thumb across her forehead while in a serious tone announce, Simba. I wish I could do a James Earl Jones voice because that's all I can picture.
That's fantastic.
Well, not picture because that's filthy.
Sure.
Oh, cunt flaps are a clapping. God bless you, Don.
Pruitt says Simba is not in the Urban Dictionary. My friend Will Wolfter
it
is
actually
the creator.
Happened to him.
Oh, not surprising.
Ever since my boyfriend called me Simba, I've been waiting to tell this story.
Good Lord.
Oh, my God.
From saying the word load too many times to problems with crazy cat ladies.
Okay.
California.
Clayton, pay attention.
California becomes the first state to ban plastic bags.
Oh, girl.
Governor Jerry Brown has signed legislation imposing the nation's first statewide ban on single-use plastic bags. He signed the bill on Tuesday, just today, in fact. Plastic bags will be phased out of large grocery stores starting next year and convenience stores and pharmacies in 2016. The legislation is meant to encourage consumers to bring their own bags and as a way to reduce litter. The bill preserves more than 100 local plastic bag bans, including in San Francisco and Los Angeles, already in place. Grocers support the ban because it sets a statewide standard and allows them to charge consumers a 10-cent fee for using paper bags. Sadly, all the California cat owners are going to have to find a new way to scoop the litter box.
Oh, they'll figure out something.
And dog owners.
Right.
When you walk your dog, going to pick up the poop?
Yeah.
Because you want a big, depending on the size of that dog. But up in, we call everything by their white names, California, the Central Coast, there you cannot get a plastic bag there. And at one point, I like to put my dirty laundry at the end of a trip into a plastic bag to separate it from my clean clothes in that suitcase so it's not all filthy.
Right.
And I could not get a plastic bag out of anybody. And then in Temecula, it was the same thing. I'm like, I just need one plastic bag. And everywhere that we went shopping, they're like, we don't do that. And I'm like, for the love of fuck, what am I going to buy? I need one
plastic bag. Bring them
yourself. It's been a growing movement city by city through California. Right. Yeah. They referenced San Francisco and Los Angeles.
Like, I'm
city
glad
by
they
city,
did
it's
it.
Been growing and growing. And so now they've gone
I hope
statewide.
It comes here.
And yeah, hopefully.
I mean, I have four of those, not canvas or whatever they are, like fries bags.
The grocery bags.
Because they were giving them out for a while, and I don't know if they've stopped it or whatever.
You have to buy them now.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. I have a few of those. I mean, as often as I fucking go shopping, it doesn't really matter. But I have those. But I think everybody should. I don't think this banning of plastic bags is bad at all in any shape, way, or form.
Oh, no. And I've been doing it. I've been doing it for a while. It took me a while to get on board. Because the bags were shitty. I leave them in my trunk. The ones they first handed out, like the ones I got from the AIDS walk in. The year that I got the big bonus bag, they had ones that just frayed. Like, you'd use them once in any amount of stress.
Sure.
And they didn't break. They literally, like, unspooled, and you'd be sitting there with, like, a handful of groceries and pink threads.
Oh, no.
No, they were terrible. Yeah. But now, a couple of different places that I've got from. So you have to test the bag. Because if you're just buying a shitty bag, that's just as bad for the environment.
Right, because you're going to just throw it away.
Right. You're just going to put
I have the fries bags I have are the black, nice, double handle.
So really look at them and make sure it's an okay bag. And I just keep them in my trunk. And it took me a while to remember, but then I've probably been a year at it of being, like, good about that. And plastic. You know what really woke me up to it, though, was especially with water bottles, was the Malaysia flight, when all they kept finding was garbage in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because there are icebergs of it.
Nope, it's just a giant...
just a bunch of shit.
Right, they found a lot of crap.
Bottles.
Well, that's horrible.
Well, forget that there's actually a name for that, the big islands of shit that there's a name for it.
Yeah, there are, and they're huge.
It's called Texas.
Yeah, they call it a Texas-sized... Keep referring it as a Texas size.
Because they find these whirls, not whirlpools, but where all of the oceans come together, and there's sort of a vortex, and they create, like, these islands of trash, and they are the size of states.
But they thought there was only one until Malaysia. They didn't know about all the ones in the south, that South Sea part, until they went down there, and everything they investigated was just...
crap.
Piles of garbage big enough to look like a debris field.
They still never found the fucking plane yet. Still don't know where
it is. No, because they got to get through all the plastic bottles.
Did anybody see we may have talked about... We did talk about this. This was on the show months and months back. The kid, and I say kid because I think he's in his teens, had developed the apparatus that was solar-powered that would go out in the ocean and filter the surface water because of all the little plastic particulates that were in the water. And the filter in it was fine enough to filter out all of that, but leave the plankton so it would go back into the water.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Vaguely, yeah.
And it was but he was looking for funding. Like, he had done a prototype and showed how it would go out, and it would hold all of the stuff, and then they would just go to it and then empty it out. But all it did was, it's like a skimmer for your pool. Like, all it does is it goes around the entire ocean and picks up all that shit. it was amazing.
So we can
what's
bring it back here and find something to recycle it into.
Figure it out. Do something with it.
Texas Mayan for island of shit. Molly is so funny.
We can't get through an episode of this show with headlines without going to our dear, dear Florida. A 19-year-old South...
penis of America.
A 19-year-old...
You need a Florida theme for that.
We do.
Oh, like a theme song?
Mm-hmm. We do. We have...
maybe a Nita Bryant song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe we should get one like that.
Talk loud.
I lost the one we had. We used to have one that was called Faker, Florida, but I don't know where it is.
Faker, Florida, I remember that.
Yeah. Anyway, a 19-year-old South Florida woman faces child abuse charges after deputies found her five-month-old child in her vehicle's trunk during a traffic stop.
And when I saw that headline, I knew it was Florida or Arizona.
Oh, you okay. No. So Broward Sheriff's deputies say they tried to pull over a vehicle last Tuesday, but Breonna Watkins kept on driving. When she stopped, the deputy heard the baby crying in the trunk. Well, now, according to an arrest report, the child was lying on top of a pair of hedge clippers and was surrounded by dangerous objects, including a gas can, plastic bags, a rusty tire iron, and other crap you find in your trunk.
Because you know what? You don't want to fuck around and get a ticket for not having your kid.
I haven't even got to that part of the story.
Watkins, much better to be with gasoline and hedge clippers.
Watkins told authorities that she asked her 14-year-old passenger to slide the baby into the trunk through the back seat because she didn't want to get a ticket for not having a car seat.
Oh, so the baby wasn't in the trunk the whole time.
No, the baby was on the lap of a 14-year-old, and she got stopped. She decided to have them slip it through the back, you know, the ski access panel in the back seat. She remains in jail on a $7,000 bail, and it was not known at press time whether or not she had a lawyer. But you're 19 years – first of all, you're 19 years old and unmarried, and you're running around with a kid. There's already a problem probably there, my guess. Number two, you're driving around, but you can't afford a baby, your car seat. There are places they will give you a car seat.
Yeah.
If you
like look the for hospital you gave birth in.
They will.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, you can't leave without the car seat.
You can't leave without the car seat.
But the baby was five, right? So the baby's not in a baby seat anymore.
I thought
you said at the beginning he was five. So he's out of all the five-point harnesses.
No. Five-month-old.
Five-month-old.
That's a baby.
I knew this was young. No, they just literally took it in the hand like this and put it in the back in the trunk like that. No, 5 months.
A five-year-old might object.
Right.
Yeah. How did it go?
Five-year-old would think it was like fun.
In your hand.
Thank you.
Like that. I like that.
That's a noise a baby makes when slipping into the trunk.
There's that. Kit Carlson.
True story.
Back to you.
Continuing in Florida.
Oh, we got a theme.
Birthday celebration turned sour for a North Lauderdale couple when both were accused of DUI following a road rage incident in Coral Springs.
Not in Coral Springs.
Records show it was the fourth DUI arrest for Michelle Ann Rivera, 49, and the first for Stancil Gannis Kinsley.
He needs to get with the fucking program.
I know. Jesus. Talk about a slow learner.
He's 20 years older and behind in DUIs. What is he doing wrong with his life?
They could fit another pack in this one, by the way.
The couple were returning home from Kinsley's birthday outing at 1:13 p.m. on a Sunday.
Oh, this is early on a Sunday.
Day drinking, yeah. Sunday fun
day. Day drinking and I'm thinking of you. Another day drinking and I'm thinking of you.
Aretha, thank
looking
you.
At the cop car. What the hell is going on?
Put the baby in the trunk.
Another motorist called 911 and told police Rivera was driving a 1999 silver Toyota 4Runner all over the southbound lanes in the 1200 block of North University Drive, according to the arrest report. The witness told police Rivera stopped in the middle of traffic, got out of the driver's seat, walked to the car behind her vehicle, yelled at the driver for following too closely, went back to her SUV but got in the passenger seat after Kinsley went around the vehicle and got into the driver's seat. When police arrived, they noticed both Rivera and Kinsley had strong odors of alcohol, watery, bloodshot eyes, and slurred speech. Mm. Officers also found an open bottle of Smirnoff vodka in Rivera's purse.
That a girl.
After repeated police requests, Rivera agreed to take a roadside sobriety test, but had trouble getting out of the SUV and walking around it.
You would think she would know her way around it and be able to get out of the car a little easier on her fifth DUI.
Right.
Fourth.
I'm expecting somewhere in the story that she got out of the car and did the Macarena.
Yeah.
No, wait, it's coming.
Wait a minute.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait for it.
She was unable to complete several sobriety exercises and kept asking if she was under arrest. When Rivera was put in the backseat of a patrol car, she noticed Kinsley was being arrested too, and Rivera spontaneously blurted out, "He wasn't driving, I was."
Nice.
That's how you get a 2-for-1.
That's
on
how?
On a DUI.
Oh, that's how?
Now yeah. I was
no, they're
driving.
Both getting DUI.
I got something for both of you.
When they were taken to the police station, Rivera became loud and abusive. She lifted her skirt, flashed her bare ass at the officer, saying, "This is the best you'll ever have."
Well,
she sounds like good people.
Yeah.
Well, she'd probably be fun at a party.
She'd be a good time.
She'll be your entertainment at your birthday party.
She refused the breathalyzer, but when asked if she'd been drinking, she said, "Obviously."
Keep going.
Kinsley admitted to drinking since 10 a.m. at a restaurant. He failed several roadside sobriety tests.
I was drinking at a Denny's.
And then said, "I'm done. Take me." His breath alcohol test was over the legal limit.
He just dropped the mic and said, I'm over it.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it.
I can't walk the straight line what anymore. Just arrest my ass.
Rivera is jailed on $66,000 bond. Whoa. And Kinsley was released on $500 bond. That's court records sexism. Showed no evidence of an attorney.
No evidence. Hey, Macarena. Ooh.
I think we should get our listeners to create flash a their ass. Well, that too. To create a GoFundMe account for these people.
No.
No? Oh, my bad.
I want to do. I was going to do a GoFundMe account, but I still haven't. I got to figure out how to edit the video together.
Okay, first off, we have to say something critical about that song. You have to pay for it. The Macarena fucking sucks. And what the hell is wrong with white people when they do it? There. Now we can play it. Because it was a criticism.
Sure. Done. I understand. You have to critique. Critiquing.
Hey, Macarena. Oh, and our final story.
If that gets stuck in my head, my lawyer is going to be in touch with your people.
Yeah. Well, in our final story, and God, I'm sure you've been happy. You're glad for us to get to that point in the show. The award for best principal ever just might go to Diane Wilkinson. Bing. If you remember last week, we talked about a Schenectady High School senior named Draven Rodriguez. He was the kid with the dream to take a yearbook photo with his cat, Mr. Bigglesworth.
Oh, no.
Rodriguez was so passionate about his portrait, he even created a preemptive strike petition for the school board to allow his photo to be printed in the yearbook before they even issued a decision on what they were doing.
Oh, I was going to look for it.
So that is what Kat is holding up is the first incarnation of the photo. Well,
is that like the laser thing? Is that what's going on? Oh, no.
In a compromise, his cat photo was accepted for a different part of the yearbook, separate from the other student portraits. However, Principal Diane Wilkinson and her chihuahua, Vivian, found a way to make Rodriguez's photo, the original photo, a laser-filled tribute to the bond between a boy and his cat, just became a portrait of pure awesomeness. Vivian and Mr. Bigglesworth are now both featured in the shot.
Okay, that's not a dog.
It's so amazing.
Vivian, they are both rescue animals, oddly, and the photo will appear in the yearbook to raise awareness for the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, also known as the ASPCA. In fact, I have a photo. Hang on, here.
Is it you, Kat?
There is the photo to all of our listeners viewing out in the great beyond.
Well, I provided a link.
It says, thank you. I'm glad a compromise was made, and it was fun to do, as well as the fact that it's all going for a good cause, said Rodriguez to Mashable, the online Mashable.com. Sometimes a principal is more than an educator. She's a hero and a whole lot better by joining in with her students. So isn't that just god-awful?
That's a fantastic follow-up.
Well, I guess you got to do something when you got an ugly dog. You might as well get your picture taken.
I hate those dogs. I mean, the cat could whip that dog's ass. I mean, there's no doubt in denying it.
I took the photo with the intent of recreating, and I just haven't had time to Photoshop it yet.
She's been busy.
Cat has. Propeller.
The actual original photo is worse than the photo with the principal.
Because
what he's doing with the cat is different. And it's worse.
Oh, yeah. Full color. Black and white does not do that picture justice. It's like an ABBA album cover.
It really is.
You just can never describe something that horrible. I just love Pruitt saying that's just fucking yourself with your own rapier. I just love that we've come
I'll drink to that.
I know. We've made it to a literary place where we're able to paraphrase Shakespeare.
I'm going to have to go make Pop-Tarts and make a new drink for myself.
Is that code for going potty?
No, it's not at all. Not at all.
Mom, I have to make Pop-Tarts. No.
Okay.
That's later.
All right.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to go get a Band-Aid because I'm bleeding like a stuck.
What'd you do?
Oh, it's a stupid
stuff. Did I cut you with my rapier wit?
Go to my go in the other end of the house, Al.
Speaking of while we're here, by the way.
We're going to be here for a while.
Yeah. I know I've told you this before, Clayton, but do you know that you can check into Clayton's house and it's called Maggie's and Marty's.
Maggie and Marty's.
I did. Yeah. Okay, in fact, I've known where Clayton lives for a long time because of Facebook.
Because of that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I never knew that that's what that was.
Thank you.
And I would notice that Clayton would check into it around 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
This is a funny story. This is good.
And very often I get home around the same time and I'm always hungry and everything's closed. So I actually drunkenly one night got on my bicycle and went looking for Maggie's and Marty's because I thought it was like an all-night restaurant. Like a restaurant. In this neighborhood. It's not.
And I think even a comment, he's like, where are you? Where are you
I
eating?
I can't find it.
I can't find it.
I've seen the fridge. There's actually not a lot of food there anyway.
No, there's not that either. But
which would surprise you
really? Really?
With a house with so many people living in
there's
it.
There's only two of us at this
That's
point.
That's two grown adults.
Yeah, and one's getting ready to leave. And then it's just me and Maggie and Marty.
Yes.
And they don't cook.
No,
they're very needy. They're very needy. Oh, well, that is very, that was funny, though. When
I'm going to give, like, Maggie and Marty a bad Yelp.
Well, they'll just throw up on something.
Half star.
Half star. Oh, half like star.
I'm gonna eat tough stuff. That's another thing, by the way, if I may.
What?
I decided, because I was doing a promo for my show, and I said, you know what? Why don't I include a Yelp review about my show?
Sure.
Well, I
Are
Yelped,
there any of them?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I have like 10 really good, like incredible Yelps. People who are like, oh, I had a great time, I had a great time.
You've had a show for how many years? You only got 10 good Yelps?
Yeah.
All right.
But
one for each year.
There was one really bad one.
And
So I refused to link to my Yelp because I didn't want anybody to see it.
What did it say?
It said something about the hostess, who's obviously been doing this for a while, seems to sort of phone it in.
Were you phoning it in?
No, do that.
We all have off nights. We all do.
I've been phoning it in
for a year. Ours is every Tuesday.
I'm telling myself that maybe they were there on a week that someone hosted for me, like Celia was there or TC.
Throw them under the bus. That's good.
That's how I'm sleeping at night. It's that rape your wit and cheap wine.
Three pears. Pears, whatever the hell it is. Where'd you get that?
I got it at AJ's.
Really? Because you got your muffins there, too. I'm sorry. I'm eating with a mouthful of nuts.
That's
sorry. I'm talking with a mouthful. What have you done?
No, lately. I always used to piss and moan at work when people would, like, open a bottle of wine but not take all the foil off, and I just did it because the other opener has a weird.
Does that happen a lot
thing.
At your job?
Well, 10 years in a bar, it happened a lot where you'd get people that wouldn't take all the foil off. Okay. So when you go to pull the cork off, the foil slices your finger open. And I just did it because the knife out there is a circular knife, and I didn't make the full motion, so I left like a little piece of foil on the last part of the circle.
It's a lovely story.
So when I went,
let's do a telethon to raise awareness.
I know, fuck it, I know. It's a long story.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, let's
do this. Al Perkins.
It's all TV and entertainment. The new season has started, and I have some notes and reminders to help you watch stuff. And all of a sudden, my computer is so tired, it won't open up. All kinds of shows. SNL turns 40. They've changed their format. There's a couple of movies to be seen. I get to this really late. Da 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 da. All right, there was no headlines in that. Sorry.
Yep.
So the big news was SNL turned 40. Their debut was this week with
the debut
with Chris Pratt.
Oh God, he's hot.
Yeah, he really is a cutie patootie. He's that doughy white. He's the quintessential doughy white boy. Now that Corey Monteith is dead. Yeah. Well, Corey used to be the quintessential white doughy. Well, Michael Bublé is another one of that doughy white boy that I enjoy. But Chris Pratt, you know, he goes up and down about 45, 50 pounds, depending on the movie or the role he's playing.
All right.
And the funny thing was he got in shape for Zero Dark 40, but he always plays the schlubby guy on Parks and Rec. And he was in such good shape that they had to keep hiding him like he was pregnant because he was no longer schlubby. He was clearly in shape from playing a SEAL 6 team, or what are they called? SEAL Team 6. So he was in such good shape for that movie and shirt off that they really couldn't do anything about him being like a fat slob. So they kept putting him in like giant clothes and hiding him behind stuff for like 4 or 5 episodes. And then they just told, like, he just went back to eating, and then he got like part after part that he's like, okay, we got to decide on a weight what I need to weigh. Like, I get work at this weight and I get work at this weight. So
what
somebody's got to decide.
Have.
No, but it's not healthy to go up.
I have that same problem.
As much as he goes up and down. But so the funny thing that they're doing, because they're not making a big deal about the 40th anniversary yet. They probably will at some point this season. But they've been doing the hour before the real live show every week has been a repeat from the week before. They'll give you the highlight show of the week before.
And they're doing that all the time now?
Yeah, they've been doing it for a couple years, where the hour before has been last week's show, kind of highlights of missing a couple skits that didn't quite fly. Well, what they're doing this year in honor of is they're doing a best of for the whole season. So they're doing something from all the different eras and all the different genres, and they're kind of making a big play up of if you want to see the bulk of the SNL from a certain night. Some nights they won't include the musical act, or if they go back far enough, there wasn't always a musical act, you know, depending on how far back they go. So this week they did the Richard Pryor's, they were thinking about doing the debut episode, but then they went with the Richard Pryor, which is famous for his opening monologue, which was fucking hysterical to see Richard Pryor have to be clean and actually pull it off do a like a PG-rated comedy act because he works so blue. Mm-hmm. But then he does the job interview where he and Chevy Chase do the word association for the job. And a thing that you would never get – no one would ever say the N-word on TV. And this was played like when they get to that about, you know – It's played for humor, and it's, you know, that biting first season where they were just doing anything they wanted to because no one knew what the fuck they were.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember that.
So that was on this last week, and so every week it's going to be something new. So definitely tape that hour before to see classic episodes, and they're going to pick and choose from 40 seasons, and they have about 40 weeks, so it might prove to be one per season, or they might miss some lame years, but they're going to try and get you something special every week.
There were a lot of lame years, too.
Was there? No, you're right. There were.
And the one that I always remember is that first year that the original cast was gone, like 81. But that's the one that then. But then if you watch it, it's the year that Billy. Not, it's the, who comes on that year? There's somebody really famous from that year that did good stuff. But I say it's the same conversation, like Christmas comes too early or the Halloween.
Saturday Night Live Dead. It happens every year.
Every year, yeah, I hear the same conversation. I've been taping it for as long as I've been alive. I've watched.
Is that right?
Yeah, like it's just been one of my favorites. And there are some, but there's always something in there that, you know, you always fast forward because something goes on too long or something's not working. But then something just comes up and you're just like, please God, let someone else have seen this week. Mm-hmm. Which is why when they got to the Chronicles of Narnia, the Sunday, whatever that's called, it's called Sunday something, where the first time they did the rap with Adam Sandberg, where he wanted to do the rap song, and it's the Chronicles of Narnia, and they're like talking about going for the muffins. I mean,
digital shorts, I think.
Yeah, the digital shorts, and they've been doing them for years, but it's called Lazy Sunday, and it was the first one to be nominated for an Emmy, and it was when SNL finally said, we're not going to block our skits anymore because this is what's going to get people to tune in next week, was because everyone was talking about Lazy Sunday and then Dick in a Box and they just had so much stuff to throw out there. So keeping with SNL, oh my God, my spelling on this is atrocious, but Skeleton Twins, which we talked about from the Toronto Film Festival, it's Kristen Wiig and... oh my God, I didn't write it down because I thought I'd never forget
it. I'll look it up.
The guy that played Stefan.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Bill
God.
Hader.
Oh, God.
Is the brother and sister duo. It was so good.
Oh, really?
So nicely done. And it's a semi-serious, like you get some laughs out of it. It's a serious movie about two fucked up adults that were brother and sister that come back together. She's really good in it. I was to my end of my rope with her on SNL. It was like time to retire her because bitch needs to sit down. Yeah. Like she was doing every single skit and it just got annoying.
Yeah.
But Bill Hader in this movie is so amazing.
Really?
Amazing. An amazing
performance. He's one of the people I don't like, but I'll take your word for it.
It was just a really nice performance, and in a movie that every time it would start.
He's in
to
drag
get,
in the movie too. He does drag. There's a drag scene.
He goes to Halloween. They go to Halloween and they recreate something they did as kids.
Gotcha.
So it's not drag. It's kind of like a funny, and it really is a funny Halloween costume that they put together. But every time the movie starts to get way down in the maudlin part of like their childhood and what's wrong, how fucked up the two of them are, there's just a really light moment where the two of them just have such great chemistry together. And you believe that they've known each other. Like, you just believe what they're doing together. It's a really nice
movie.
So they're
both fucked up?
Oh, yeah, completely fucked up.
See, the impression I got from the trailer was that the gay one was the only one that was fucked up. And I thought, I don't want to see this again.
No.
Oh, okay.
And they really are. And it's kind of a movie about the damage that fucked up people pretending to not be fucked up cause. Like, if you would just go get help for your problem, you would do a lot better, but the damage you inflict on everyone around you by pretending you're not fucked up.
Gotcha.
And it's a really nice movie. And then the other one from this weekend that made a butt ton of money and like one of the highest grossing R-rated films of the last few years, and I think it's the highest grossing R-rated movie in September ever, was The Equalizer with Denzel Washington, proving he can still push a movie.
Hey, I just saw it, and it was terrible.
Was it?
It was really bad.
It's on my list because I like the girl. I like Chloe.
Yeah, she has a tiny part, and it's just a bad movie. I know it's number one. I know it's Denzel.
And that doesn't mean anything because Mariah Carey is very popular, so I don't take the number one as anything.
I was really disappointed in that movie.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
I can't say enough bad things.
I said that about all the movies this summer. There's only been a few movies this entire last 4 months that I've actually enjoyed, and Skeleton Twins was on that short list of movies that I actually was like, that was.
Did you see This Is Where I Leave You? Have you seen that yet?
I have not. I want to see that one this week,
I think
too.
I'm going to go see that tomorrow.
And that's another one that's gotten really terrible reviews. And then on SNL, this Sunday night, his name is Mulaney. He's the guy that wrote the Stefan character on SNL, which everyone knows I absolutely loved. That was my favorite, when he everything he said about midgets. So he's on there. He gets his own show, and it's where
Pedram Hassin. Her.
We're making all the right noises.
Pedrad.
Yeah, that's all those noises make her name. But she—that's what she left for, and everyone knew she was leaving to go on this show. And it's
Nassim. Yeah, Pedrad Nassim.
Yeah, and what's Martin Short? Like it's just a dream cast that he assembled for this show. It's on Sunday night, so Fox is doing cartoon Brooklyn Nine-Nine cartoon Mulaney.
Interesting.
And yeah, just because they know that they have that fan base built up for the Simpsons, and is it the Cleveland show? No, yeah. Family Guy.
Family Guy. They're all on the Cleveland show. Bob's
but no,
Burgers.
But now everything's gone except for Simpsons and Family Guy, and then the two live action in between.
All right.
And they've just said that it's a really strong night of comedy. Like if you like your stoner. If you're stoned at the beginning for the cartoons, you're going to enjoy yourself for the whole ride. Because you get Adam Sandberg, and the debut of Brooklyn Nine-Nine last Sunday was a fucking riot. Like, that show has not... They went back and just got funnier. Just right on point. Speaking of Sunday, Homeland debuts with two new episodes this Sunday. So white people are very happy, because now it's an SNL joke.
And Pumpkin Spice. Pumpkin Spice and Homeland.
Everywhere.
Don't say it three times fast, or a white woman in yoga pants is going to show up and tell you all their favorite things about fall. So that all the new shows that I've been trying to screen them all and tell you what to watch and don't watch. Red Band Society, I kind of enjoyed it. It's stupid. It's just as nonsensical as Grey's Anatomy with a little bit more appealing cast, but it's gotten shitty ratings, so it's probably going to go. So if you didn't catch it, don't catch up now, because it's probably going to get canceled, so don't get attached.
Deal.
The Mysteries of Laura's got really good ratings. It's written for the mouth breathers in the world.
Oh,
but I was drawn in, because she's just so fucking likable. Like, Deborah Messing is just likable. Mm-hmm. I've never seen one episode of Murder, She Wrote. I've been making fun of that show for the last 20 years without ever watching one episode. I refer to it all the time. But I'm assuming this is what Murder, She Wrote was like. It's just a corny mystery with an easy solve, while Deborah Messing just has a disaster of a life with two rotten kids and an ex-husband. So but I was actually amused by the whole fucking hour. Like, I ate my popcorn, I liked my life. Madam Secretary with Tia Leone is very good, but if you go on the fanboy pages and you read the comments, they just crucify the show as being like some Democratic blue state push for Hillary, and this is the, like, this is just NBC or Fox or whatever network plays it. They're just trying to get Hillary into office. So the hateful comments about the show make it worth everything. So watch an episode of Madam Secretary, which really doesn't pretend to be about either party and has no real political aspirations.
I read good reviews about it.
No, the show is excellent. But if you go on the fanboy pages and you read what the people are writing, because usually it's like the second comment in any thread is Obama's a communist and, you know, black people are evil. This one doesn't even wait. That the very first comment was, why the fuck is this on the air? Isn't it bad enough that Hillary's going to be president and I've got to watch some fucking show that's trying to elect her? And it's like,
oh my God.
There was nothing in the show to make you believe this. And then the fanboy page for the Mysteries of Laura was all about the fact that she shoots a white criminal holding a black guy hostage. And, like, I mean, the fan page was all about how many black criminals there are in the world. And I just went down, I just read
what?
It. I laughed my ass off. I'm like, just watch the fucking show. It was stupid. Like, right. the Mysteries of Laura was seriously written at, like, a third grade level. And I was amused and delighted by the entire thing. Because, again, but Madam Secretary was kind of smart. It had something to say about, like, Middle East and negotiations and tough choices. It was an interesting show. And I'm like, wow, you all were watching a different
really
program.
Really just reaching for that. Well,
yeah.
It doesn't take much.
Scorpio got the big premiere spot. It's after The Big Bang Theory. It's the show about the geniuses. It's got Catherine McPhee, who I'll seriously watch her read a box of cereal. I don't
Nothing
give a shit.
Nothing has
I
worked
enjoy
out
her.
For her, though.
This one's going to, because the ratings were absolutely ridiculously high, because they're following that. And it was one of those ones, It was one of those shows where they spent all the money on the pilot, like like the stunts, the cinematography. It was feature film quality television, and you know they blew like $6 million of their $6.1 million budget for the entire year. The rest of the thing's all going to be like green screened and taking place in a cafeteria because they don't have a penny left. But it was
a murder that takes place in a basement.
Exactly. And no one leaves. But it was really, and they're all endearing, and it was the perfect like nerd show to follow Big Bang Theory. So I enjoyed that. I haven't watched last night's yet, but it was a good premiere, and I'm like, well, that's all the money you got left.
How much TV do you watch?
Well, I don't watch that. I do watch a lot, but this week I'm trying to watch like all the new shows.
No,
to
no
see
seriously,
what
I'm not judging. I'm asking, how much TV do you think you watch?
Probably about 5 hours a week, I would say.
Oh, that's not a lot.
No, I get down really quick, and because there's just stuff that I'm like, no, they lose me by episode two of most shows, or I'm like, I've lost all interest in this.
Hmm.
But I do the binge thing like you do with Breaking Bad. Like all of a sudden I'll find a show and I'm like, I just binge it to the end. And that's what I just did with Big, yeah.
That's my new favorite way to do television. Like I don't even have the patience to wait for it to happen anymore.
Don't you feel bad for fucking up all the way through, like someone's 6 years of work in the course of a week? Like this is their life and you just burnt through it in a week.
But Netflix is now banking on that. So like there's people actually.
I think that's the new model. I think binge TV is the new way to go, I think.
And I like the 13 episode season. Mm-hmm. I like keep it short, keep the quality there. Like allegedly The Good Wife can keep it up for 22 weeks, but I don't watch that show.
Give it to me all at once. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's what she said.
Again, literally.
Again and again.
Is that rapier wet?
Rip rapier! It felt rapier.
It's feeling rapier and rapier all the time.
I watch more than five hours, but I'm embarrassed to say this. Well, I'll tell you guys because I think you guys are all my age. But the only thing I ever want to watch is MeTV or Antenna TV.
Oh, I love MeTV.
That's all I watch.
They have that at the hospital. And if somebody's in a coma, I just, oh, you wanted to watch MeTV? Of course you did. Let's watch that for 12 hours. Look, it's the Newhart show.
When I saw about Ropers, I was so happy. Yeah,
I know the Ropers are on there.
I was ecstatic.
I watched the Ropers. If it wasn't two nights before you, it was the actual, like, I was up overnight. And I saw the Ropers the same night you did.
I almost thought I was dreaming when it came on because the theme music is so strange.
And Jeffrey Tambor.
And I was like, what? And how does he look exactly the same age? He was an old man 40 years ago. And that's literally has to be 30 years.
What's like Elaine Stritch? She played 80 from the time she was 30 till she died. Like she played the exact same age her entire career. But I have to say, now that the View is good again, I'm up higher and I cannot stop rooting for Nicole Wallace.
I enjoy her.
Immensely.
I like the way she dresses too. I think she's sexy.
I'm hoping Rosie Perez goes on vacation sometime soon though, because there's just something about her that I'm like,
she's so Rosie Perez. Go away. Like to me, she's just busy being Rosie.
She's actually really well informed, really well spoken. She just doesn't believe in herself. She doesn't jump in. She always kind of just jumps in.
She apologizes
and talks this way and is like, oh, I'm sorry for interrupting. Like, and she should really have a bigger voice because she is well informed.
I happened to catch some of it the other day, and I can't watch it and see Rosie Perez and not think of you because
I'm sick of her.
Knowing how much you don't care for, that's exactly where I am.
And there's a big fight last week between Rosie and Whoopi about cutting Rosie off, and I guess Rosie took her rent because Rosie still suffers from mental illness. There's no getting around it. Mm-hmm. Like we got a little taste of it earlier in the decade, but now it's like. So when Whoopi had to say, like, we have to go to commercial, or we're going to talk about this more through the year, this is obviously a story that's not – and they say that a lot. This is not a story that's going away. We're going to come back to it, so we're going to cut away here. And I guess Rosie just, like, picked up the microphone and talked to the audience. And unfortunately, those little audience things with everybody having phones and everyone recording –
it's all recorded.
They're all recorded, and it got a lot of press, all the shit that went down with Whoopi saying, like, this is not the time. Like, don't do this in public.
Like, simmer
like
down,
don't start a feud. We don't need the ratings. The ratings are good. We don't need to build up some drama.
Right.
So it was very, very strange.
Is she the right person for that show? Because I'll be honest, I was rooting for her because I like her.
Which one?
Rosie O'Donnell. I like her. I think I like her point of view most of the time. But I have to say that she is the short link on that show right now.
Right now, she's my least favorite person. The leak wink. Because I feel like she just keeps trying to like make it the Rosie show.
Sure.
When there's three, like, there's an intelligent discussion from all of them, and when they have a smart story, I like that they all, not a smart story, but they have something political. Mm-hmm. They go to the person with the political
background. The politics, right.
And they go to Nicole Wallace, and she's got always something intelligent to say. She's never just spouting the Fox News line. And now, like, the more she's on, the more I hate Elizabeth Hasselbeck, which I never did before, because I always appreciated her. But now I'm like, you were just vomiting up what Fox News said.
And Reading the script, sure.
I never believed Elizabeth believed all that stuff.
Oh, personally. But now she's on Fox News.
I think that's how she kept her job, because she discovered some of her conservative opinions garnered her some fan base.
No, but Bill Getty, the producer, was
He's also conservative.
Very conservative. So I guess from what they've spilled, they would get together and like give her the lines that she would have
to go
not
with,
that she didn't agree with them. But you're going to
make good TV.
Yeah, but you're going to do the talking point with like that echo chamber of like, so it's nice to hear Nicole Wallace actually say like, and she'll have a point of view like, I don't agree with this, but I like this.
I love that she can actually say things like, this is how this works.
Yeah.
Or, I've actually been in that room.
Yeah.
I loved when she talked about Dick Cheney shooting someone in the face.
Yeah. I had to come back to work to find out that Dick Cheney got shot somebody in the face.
And whoever told her that threw it in. Really? Nothing else this weekend? Nothing? No, everything's cool? Well, Dick Cheney shot someone.
His thing was, how are we... The person that told her was like, how are we going to cover this? And her thing was like, is he alive?
First of all, how's the other guy doing?
Right? Yeah.
Before we worry about covering this.
Right, that was... No, but like they were all like looking at each other like, what's the best angle to hit this from? And she's like, is he alive? Like, tell me the rest of the story. Because people that get shot in the face,
not always live.
Okay, so I'll go with the three highlights I think of the new season, comedy wise. And there's a lot of stuff debuting. I'm taping some other stuff, but I thought Black-ish was point on funny. Like I got what they were going for. They're so fucking likable. Diana Ross's daughter, amazeballs.
Yeah,
in a really really. In a role that obviously, I mean, it's one episode. She obviously has a lot of different things to do with this, but they were, I mean, just straight down the line funny. From the black kid at the rich white kid school wanting to be bar mitzvahed because it sounded like more fun. To the father being upset that he didn't want to play basketball. He wanted to play field hockey, and his whole disgust with like field hockey's a stupid sport. And the kid finally saying, I know, but I suck at basketball.
Yeah.
It was... Very rapier. I needed a drink. Okay, so, and as far as like hour-long scripted shows, the best of the bunch, and I know I'm biased because they're three of my favorite movies of the last 10 years, but that fucking Gotham was out of the park. That was amazeballs. I cannot express to you, I mean, they set up five villains.
Mm-hmm.
They got you Catwoman, the Penguin, they got you the Joker, the Riddler, Exactly, and brilliant, like just across the board. And another one, they spent every dollar on this pilot, which I don't think they had to do a pilot. This is one of those shows that I think got green-lighted just on the concept, and they were like, just shoot whatever you want to, spend as much money. If they don't watch
Has
it
one
when
episode
it's on,
been on or two?
Two. The second one was yesterday.
Okay, because yesterday I went to go pick up my dry cleaning. I was riding my bicycle home from Fry's, and my dry cleaner is right there between there and home. And I saw that they were still open, and I thought, why are they open? And so I poked my head in, and I said, are you guys open? And they go, well, no, we're closed, but are you picking up your clothes? You can pick it up right now. And I said, okay, I'll pick up my clothes. And I said, what are you guys still doing here? And she goes, well, I don't want to miss the rest of Gotham. So she was literally staying at work.
It was
she didn't want to miss the rest of Gotham.
That premiere was appointment TV. Like, that was...
I can't wait to see that.
So well done and beautifully filmed. I mean, just... And I
was worried. I'm not going to lie.
I was too. And God, did they pull that off? And the Penguin was just so good. And Catwoman was introduced in such a fun way. The Riddler would like everyone was introduced in such a nice they didn't beat you over the head. It wasn't Spielberg at all. Like I wasn't beat over the head with it. Like you had to think it through. Like okay. And then they'll like hit you a little bit just in case you're a mouth breather. But it was
Like if you don't know the canon.
Yeah, if you didn't get the whole thing at first, but beautifully done and just a great story and a great cover up and a great police drama because they really had to solve a crime and set the season up for. Finding the killer of
is it too modern and dark? Because you know that's the way everything has to be now.
I didn't think so at all. I thought it really followed nicely with The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises.
I'll watch
it without being too Dark Knight third act
derivative. Yeah,
rapier.
Without being rapier, a little less rapier. But Jada Pinkett Smith, honest to God, I have never enjoyed her. This was the first time I've ever thought this is the part she was meant to play. Like, so well done.
Just, I've always gotten a kick out of her.
She's always in a shitty role. Like, I think she's a beautiful woman with bad parenting. Really, really, really rate her down too. Because I think she's a shitty ass parent.
Because she stopped listening.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I giveth with one hand, I slap with the other.
Is she in the chat room?
Yeah. She's got to stop. Now, but
bye, Jada, call me.
The one that wins every category as far as like critical acclaim and audience, like for like huge numbers, is How to Get Away with Murder with Viola Davis.
Oh, yeah, set records.
They're hyping the shit out of that.
Delivered on all levels.
Did it.
Critically acclaimed, really fun to watch, a fantastic cast, and then the numbers were astronomical. Like, yeah. ABC is seriously jacking off in a corner. Like, seriously. Get this bitch another TV show. Put her on two shows.
Because if you watch your television through like ABC On Demand or Hulu, that's all you see. Like,
oh,
for
yeah.
the last 2 weeks is How to Get Away with. Like, that's the
because
only fucking
know,
commercial that
they
have.
Know what they know what
is it
they
that
have.
Good?
It is that good.
I worry even about stuff like that.
Even on Antenna TV, they're running commercials for that.
And they got it. They hit it out of the park. That's another one. And they hit every level. Like, it's a fun show. It's a great cast. They're kind of sexy.
So there's like a mystery that will be developed through the series.
Yeah.
So it's not just... Because when I had first read the show, I'd read about it about 6 or 9 months ago. They said that they were rebooting Murder, She Wrote with Viola Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought...
No, with Octavia Spencer.
Oh.
Yes, different black woman.
Okay, that's right.
Write down black people.
They're already there.
So I'm pretty sure they're there.
Did they do that?
No, because they decided against it. And I think, honestly,
that's why I thought when
honest
this came
to
up.
God, I think they developed a project with Octavia Spencer in mind. They gave her the Red Band Society, which is, it was not a bad show, just no one's watching it because it's sick kids with cancer. So it's a bit maudlin.
Yeah, it feels good.
It's a bit maudlin. And then they had
coming up next, puppies being kicked.
Yeah. But it really wasn't. It was a lightly charming show, but they really did go the Grey's Anatomy, like just stupid, bad medicine. No one lives in a
with Red
like,
Band Society.
Like, yeah, it just went.
I love Grey's Anatomy. You can't tell me not to. You can't tell me not
there's,
to.
There's so many. I mean,
I know it's not medicine. That's
no,
not why I watch
no,
it.
No, it's not that it's not medicine. It's just it's not even like it doesn't even pass like fourth grade science tests.
I'm vested now. I like know. I've been there for 8 years. I'm vested.
I did 4 solid years with those people. So so I just got to tell you, How to Get Away with Murder. It's on again tomorrow night. Catch up with it. It really was the whole package. When I read I kept Googling to find out how the ratings were. Really did well. And then you're new on Netflix for October. Not a lot of shit that I would watch came up this month, and I like that Netflix is announcing what they're putting on new on your, for those of you that don't spend the money to get the DVDs, mm-hmm. and the streaming sucks, so you're paying for a
is
shitty
it glitchy?
Product. No, it's just that they don't have a lot. Like, when you want to watch it, like, I want to watch any movie I want to. I don't want you to tell me what my limits are. Like, I can't stand it when I'm like, oh, I like this movie. I'd like to see this one. And then you're like, no, it's not available on streaming. You got to buy the better package.
No.
I have a job. I'm just going to buy the better fucking package. Like, leave me alone.
I'll watch it now.
Right. I have no desire for limits. Like, I have a job. The reason I got a job was to pay for shit so that you don't have to tell me what I can't watch. So I think streaming Netflix, write them down too, because that is the cuntiest thing in the world. That
damn
there's
it.
Not shit that I want. Like, if I want to watch something, I want to watch it right now, and I'm paying you money. Give it to me. Shut the fuck up, or tell me what I got to pay to get what I want.
That sounds like you with like a hooker.
That's me with the lawn human. That's me with the pool guy. Right. That's me with the cable company.
If I
pay money for it, I want it, and I want all of it, and whatever I need to pay to get the rest of it, fucking pay it.
If I didn't know better, I would have you pegged as an only child.
No.
I know.
That is very...
I only boy.
But I have precious... Oh, I do have precious child
only
syndrome.
And much youngest boy.
Right.
Yeah. No. Only boy, much youngest
what's
and
the
adopted.
Age span between your youngest sister and you?
6.
Oh, no. So it's pretty close.
Close.
But the other thing is my whole family's like this. Like, I'm not... Like, it's not me that's like it.
So you're a family of only children.
Yeah.
Good. Was Ruthie
that
like this?
People.
No, but we're a family of people that work.
was Ruthie like that? Like, was Ruthie like, if she want, I just want it now. Just give it to me now. Can I pay for it? Can I get?
Have you ever heard the air conditioning story with my mother?
No.
That like a car without air conditioning wasn't even a car. Like, it didn't matter if we had to like what we had to eat. Like, there was no option of being in a car without an air conditioner. It just was not possible.
Okay.
And my mother would invent allergies for my sister to get the house more air conditioned. Like, we had central air in 1979. We had HBO in 1973. We were like the first 3 people in America to have HBO. If there was something out there that you were supposed to have, you just got it. Like,
okay.
You get it. You find out what it is. And if you don't like it, you turn it off. But if it's HBO, you keep it 40 years.
You know, I don't have cable, but every now and then, every now and then I'm at someone's house that has cable, or I'm in a hotel room. And you know what makes me happy?
Is there a story there?
Yeah.
There is, but not for this show.
Okay. Next week.
It's too rapier even for this show.
Oh.
But you know what makes me happy is that even in all of its incarnations of HBO, it still has like that tiny bit of, like, whenever a new movie comes on, it has just like three or four notes of the original HBO theme.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It has this little bum, 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 bum. And I remember it used to have this huge theme that they would play before every movie, and then it got faded out and distorted, and now it's so short.
You get
but
like
you
two
still
bars.
Hear it.
Yeah,
and,
you
and
still
it makes
hear
me
it.
Happy. It reminds me of living in Houston, Texas.
And I still get hard nipples.
1981.
An HBO it. Original series.
Uh-huh.
Or HBO document. I watched it in the hotel room because I checked two things: air conditioning in the hotel room.
There it is.
But do the da na 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 na.
Well, it's got to get there.
Oh.
It goes to this whole bullshit thing, and I see this is their opening from 83.
While you're queuing, I just want to say something. I on Facebook just said, "Hey, we're just $6 away from hitting the $9,000 mark on our team," and in just 5 minutes, we raised $283.
Beautifully realized. Well played.
Small goal.
And I was hurrying because I had
part of it.
I had
you know
to
what
sign
it is?
My
it's
mom.
It's because of the show.
It's that goddamn show.
And I put the link to my page while we were on here too. No, I don't think anybody.
I put my mom's up there.
Yep.
I chipped in $6.
Yep.
Not gonna lie.
You're my profile pic.
I saw. Thank you.
Oh, is that how you got your fucking picture on there?
Fuck yeah.
I wondered how you did that. I was like, how the fuck did she do it? I don't know how she did it, but she did.
So that's a little part that they only pay a part of now.
I was sitting here not listening, entering my credit card.
But then they don't get any of this anymore.
Oh, you don't? Because this is... And then they cover this hill, and then it comes up, and it flies in?
Yeah. Because what you get now is you get this... Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. There it is. Yep. That's the HBO theme song. Tonight on HBO.
Yes!
A deserted island and a 16-year-old boy...
Tonight on Barbara Seville.
What's funny to me is watching this on YouTube right now, watching the HBO logo fly in.
Uh-huh.
The graphics were so god awful in 83 that it moves like this.
Because there was a guy running through a stage.
Yeah. With an HBO sign.
He was dressed all in green, so he couldn't be seen. All right, so I have, I think I just have two little things to say when we come back from the break, and we're good.
Okay, it is the end of hour two. Hour
three.
No, the end of hour two. We're going into hour
three.
Oh,
no, I have three things to say.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm eating a Pop-Tart, by the way. The toaster is ready. Go make yourself a Pop-Tart. They're great.
I can't decide between, like, doing it camping style or doing it like I live in a home style. I'm torn.
I don't know what the difference is, but you can
explain
it.
One is it's cold and one is it's hot. Oh. One is it's you're super stoned, you need the Pop-Tart now, and one is you have the time.
Make them. You got time. Go good.
I know.
Toaster's ready. It's the show, Q Talk America. I'm here with Kat Carlson,
Al
Perkins.
If you're gonna go make Pop-Tarts, wash your hands.
And then also, Barbara Seville is with us right here in Q Talk Studio C. We got coming back with more from Al. Also, Kat's going to talk at some point. It'll be exciting. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
That's you.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is hour three. It's Q Talk America. You'll excuse me. I have a mouthful of freshly toasted Pop-Tart.
Is that what we're calling it?
No, it is. It's what it is. I'm sitting here alongside Kat Carlson, Barbara Seville.
Hello!
And Al Perkins is with us, by the
what
way.
What is this?
For nuts, if you want some nuts.
You know, it's like some nuts in your bowl.
I like them on my chin. What?
Whoa!
I like them on my chin.
Of course you do.
Problems lesbians don't have.
No! Could if you wanted. Anywho. We are here in Studio C in the middle of our entertainment section. Barbara Seville just did a reach out on Facebook. By the way, we are Barbara Seville is the matriarch, if you will, of the Barbara Seville's Wonderful 100 AIDS Walk team we are walking with again this year. But we will not discount on our own little Q-Talk team here. We have Kat Carlson, and she has her, say the name of it.
Piddly little team, hashtag at the cash.
Hashtag at the cash.
At the cash. So you can sign up with Kat Carlson if you'd like to walk with her, if you're a local person listening to the show, or Barbara Seville's team, whichever way, any team, honestly, God, you want to join it. The money
but
all
join
goes.
One of those two.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm not saying.
Clearly.
don't go out of your way.
We're the first two on the drop-down list.
Yeah, hashtag.
Intentionally.
Yeah, I copied that from you.
One's on the top.
When I registered my team, I was like, that bitch. But I figured you would.
Are you before me? Because of the at symbol.
That actually sounds like
A is still before B.
That still sounds like an Aaron Lopez thing, because he did that on Facebook where he was AA, or somehow he was always at the top of our fucking list.
Oh, we get to the part where other people talk. We have a question about that.
Drives me fucking crazy. Anyway, we are in the middle of our entertainment section. The drinking word is rapier. I'll show you how that looks on the screen right there. Rapier.
I'll show you what rapier looks like, ma'am.
Touch the doll. Make it count.
I need to go home and take a shower.
We'll turn everything over to Al Perkins again as he runs down the last three things that he's got in the entertainment section.
Okay, so the point of the last story about bitching about Netflix in the streaming section was that the movie that they've released again on streaming, if for some reason your life is that set that you haven't seen Galaxy Quest, pull up a bottle of wine, a joint, whatever you need to.
Is that the Star Trek movie?
The Star Trek parody where they play
Sigourney Weaver?
Yes, Sigourney Weaver. And laugh out loud funny for, I'm going to say, like 102 minutes. It is one of my favorite movies. And I think it starts October 1st on Netflix. Anytime this movie's on, I just plant my ass in front of it. It's like dodgeball. I'm just in for a giggle, and I can't get out of it.
It's been on Amazon Prime. It must be making the rounds, because it made the top three list when we were picking movies with the kids the other night. So.
And did you love it?
We didn't watch that one. Okay. We watched something else, but I've seen it. I love it.
So that's the whole point. They didn't have a lot of really stellar. They had like Kramer versus Kramer, and
it did not appeal to the 9-year-old. So I mean, it may not translate.
But put
to
it
the
on. Have they ever watched a Star Trek or a?
Probably not.
Okay. If anybody who's ever seen a Star Trek, everything about that movie. Just Tim Allen is hysterical.
Who's the older guy? Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, just out of this world funny. And then two of the people were on the opening episode of The Mysteries of Laura was half the cast of Galaxy Quest. And I'm like, all these people are in Galaxy Quest together. Go ahead.
A fun fact about me, I've never seen a Star Wars movie.
I didn't do it till the 90s, but I finally did it.
Well, I remember riding in the back of a pickup truck with four or five people.
Riding it. I was like, wow, no. Clayton.
I remember riding in the back
of grandeur.
Back of a truck on the way to the theater with, like, I don't know, six or eight other kids that were in my neighborhood. We all went to see it, the original Star Wars, together.
See, that was a simpler time, because now you can't even put a 5-year-old kid in a trunk.
Right. So here
without
we were.
Without paying $1,000 fine.
Here we were in Missouri in the back of an old Chevy pickup.
We're all going to hell.
I gotta tell you, these are just as delicious as I remember.
Aren't they horrible?
Holy fuck.
Are they? Or are you just drunk?
This is the food of the gods.
By the way, my wine glass is empty because of
all your rapierness.
Before Al continues on, we have a huge amount of live listeners right now listening to the audio stream. Of course, several people in the United States. I want to welcome the country of Chile, Jordan, Costa Rica.
Those are all new.
The United Arab Emirates are there. Thank you all for listening, and join us in the chat room if you can. Let us know what you're doing.
That's three new ones. And then we have Anne from Washington. I don't think we've ever met before. And Don recommended my dear friend Amy Petito, who you may realize from Alphabetically. We spent a lot of time in high school together, because Perkins to Petito's not a long way through the alphabet.
Neither is Al to... What's her name? Anne?
Amy.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. But
either way, you were screwed.
Pellegrino and Petito were two, and Penvos. Those three girls were trapped with me for like a decade that I think they're still in therapy about. And I see Kelly Penvos every once in a while, and she still has that look on her face like, oh, dear God, you're still alive.
We have that every Tuesday.
How is that medically possible that you're still alive? Okay, so the last thing I was talking about was, again, and I have to say it every week until he takes some kind of a break, but last week tonight with John Oliver.
Hysterical.
He just hits every fucking thing. Is dead
he going taking over for,
on the news
for Colbert?
No, he's got his own show now. Last Week Tonight on HBO, and it's just genius television.
Yeah, I saw it today.
And it brilliantly done, the story of, like, what the fuck is wrong with Kansas, and now they're trying to raise money for taxes off a closing porn industry. All the words anchors won't say on TV. And he literally finds something from A to Z of them saying A word, N word, S word, R word, T word. And he finds an anchor and he goes through the entire alphabet. And I was like, okay, how is that even possible?
It was really funny.
He was probably at F when I was finally like, oh, he's going to go through every letter. And he got like, there was an X word. Somebody had, oh, you know, it's the X word. And I'm like, no, there were so many letters. I was like, no, I don't know what word you mean. I literally don't know what word you mean.
I can cuss like a sailor, and I don't know what word that is.
So yeah, we need to look that up.
And what's becoming our continuing topic of old women releasing strange albums, Aretha Franklin joins the mix of Barbra Streisand, where she's decided to cover people. And I have to thank Jesus Christ himself, or whatever, whoever you self-identify with, that her she was going to do Last Dance, and somebody kicked her, or I spiked her coffee, but she put that dream to rest, and she went with I Will Survive. I'm hoping the estate of Paul Jabbar was like, no, lady, you are not going near that song.
Can I jump in real quickly and take credit for that, by the way?
For stopping Which part? That?
No, for this resurgence of people doing covers, because I had said this about 5 years ago. I said this about Mariah Carey. And is she in the chat room?
Yeah, she is.
She's listening. She doesn't chat much, but she's
I said
listening.
This to Mariah 5 years ago when she first started putting out these bomb CDs. I said, you need to stop with this bullshit and put out a cover CD. Put out a CD full of songs that people already know and love, because she can sing, and she can sing them better than almost anybody. Stop trying to be the 22-year-old
Right. The problem
sex girl.
Is, though...
And you know what? Susan Boyle puts out these CDs of covers. She sells them like crazy. No one's buying music anymore. But look, if you look at the top CDs this week, it's Barbra Streisand. It's Tony Bennett with Lady Gaga doing standards. And they're selling big numbers. A couple weeks ago, the number one CD in the country had only sold like 30,000 units. This week, the Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett CD sold over 100,000. Barbra Streisand sold over $200,000.
Right.
I mean, not $200,000 copies.
And I'm with you in spirit. I honest to God, I will join in. But then for every time that I'm for that, Rod Stewart gets his dirty fucking paws on the American Songbook, and I want to kill myself. And I'm sure that
and
Rod,
you know what? He's not worried about it.
But he's shitty.
He's
but
selling then, CDs like a motherfucker.
Right, but then you have all these people in America that think that the Great American Songbook sucks. Have you heard that shit?
That's a good point.
He made every song shitty. He made...
What the hell is going on?
That is exactly... If I was Aretha Franklin and I heard Rod Stewart singing even one bar of those... That was the 5, 6, 7 shittiest CDs ever recorded.
And they sell like crazy.
Oh, it's like listening to someone vomit to Gershwin.
He goes on QVC
awful.
And sells them, too.
Oh, I know.
Does he?
He is the lowest form of human. Any respect I had for him went out the door when he peed on the American Songbook. Those are atrocious.
The copy, the music that he has moved on that versus his original material, it's not even... In the last, like, 10 years, he has set himself so... So far ahead.
The good thing is they don't make a lot of money off them because they didn't write any of the songs. So those are like the cheapest CDs to make because most of those songs from the American Songbook are now in public domain.
They're royalty free.
And they're free. Oh.
I didn't know that.
Ladies and gentlemen, however you self-identify, if you see Rod Stewart on the street, kick him. Just kick him hard for me.
He'll know what it's for.
Yeah, he'll, yes, he will.
And then ask him this very question.
What in the hell is going on?
That is shitty ass fucking music. And I love Aretha. Like she remakes everything. When she got to Everyday People, Sly and the Family Stone, and mm-hmm. I was sitting, shoving a burrito in my face in some restaurant in North America.
Like you do.
I really do. And I'm like, oh, Aretha, settle down. And then halfway through, I'm like, nope, she's got this.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she remade CNC's Music Factory, she remade Pride. A Deeper Love.
Oh.
Fantastic. I mean, when she gets her hands on stuff.
That was theirs at first?
Yeah, it's a CNC Music Factory song. Yeah, it's from...
Look at me trying not to learn anything, but still learning.
Still learning. But then you fight. Then you let her out, and you, Aretha, what you see is what you groove, or what the fuck that CD is. That's where that shit comes from, and I bought that. Oh, yeah. And in the middle of a beautiful song from...
What the hell
is going on? And I'm like, Aretha, it's time to take the Valium and just say, you know what? I'm not going to record music this year.
She's crazy. No, she's crazy and doesn't give a fuck.
No, she doesn't. So I was really worried. But the Rolling in the Deep, it's okay. It did.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I love the mashup of Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Yeah, that was a nice little... Because do something... If you're going to remake mm-hmm. something, make it your own somehow. Give your own flair to it. Just don't scream what in the hell is going on in the middle of a song. All I can picture is she read the lyric about and the tigers come at night with their voices soft as thunder and thought, what in the hell is going on?
Keep it in. Keep going, Aretha. Keep going.
Yes, exactly.
There's that.
Where it's a metaphor, God. Darling. So that's just funny. But I just thank God she didn't go after Last Dance because that song was written so specifically for a certain 40s style of... It was meant to be a big band song set to a disco era.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs that clean, crisp vocal. The whole point to that song was to bring a big band era sound to disco.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It was meant very specifically for her, and the fact that she sang cleanly, no miasma, none of those runs, none of that Mariah Carey bullshit. Like, if you're hitting a note, hit the note, move on. Hmm. Like, it was meant to be sung cleanly in a 40s Andrew Sisters style. Like, this needs to be sung clean. No didn't fucking around. So, and that's when I was like, Aretha can't do that. Like, she just does many things well, but she does not sing a song straight. She if you want fun, just when Mary J. Blige was still not Mary J. Blige, there is a duet on YouTube of her and Aretha Franklin where Aretha Franklin doesn't know who she's on stage with.
Oh, no.
And she just takes a giant shit on Mary J. Blige. And it is... I have to say her name like that because that's how Whitney Houston introduced her when she was all fucked up on cocaine. Mary J. Blige! But Aretha Franklin doesn't know who she's singing with and just doesn't trust Mary J. to like take the song over. So she just sings over her and pretty much punches her in the face and kicks her down the flight of stairs and will not let someone else sing. So she's good times. That's the whole entertainment section.
So soon?
What was the... Which song was it?
Surprisingly short. I don't even remember.
I just was curious.
Trust me, Mary J. Blige didn't show up for another duet with that woman.
Oh, we'll find out. All right, let's continue on with what we have in store. And we have in store Kat Carlson.
Good Lord, this week in sports.
Yes.
And other stuff. Bye-bye, Derek Jeter. Major League Baseball playoffs, parenthetically, the big nap. Carrying on in fine lesbian tradition, we have the FIBA's Women's Basketball Championship update. And then in other stuff, will the Supreme Court take on gay marriage and other exciting Supreme Court stuff?
Dun-dun. That's what they call it. That's actually what they call it.
Supreme Court stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I know. That's on the memo. Like.
Or Supreme Courting.
Supreme Courting. Well, we're going to start with Derek Jeter.
Rapier things to talk about. Go ahead.
People that listen to sports know that Derek Jeter played his last game this week. And in an exclusive interview with Matt Lauer, which airs tomorrow... the five-time World Series champion, Derek Jeter, is opening up about retirement and saying it's given him a new life. Following a game-winning hit in his final at-bat at Yankee Stadium and a rousing ovation from, of all people, Red Sox fans at his last game, Jeter fielded questions from Lauer for the likely Hall of Famer's first television interview since his retirement. Lauer says, okay, you're 2 days into the rest of your life. So what's the first day like? I mean, obviously, you're coming off the high of Boston. What was it like? Did you look around? Did you stand in your apartment and say, now what? Jeter replied, you know, it's funny because someone had mentioned to me I went from being an old man in baseball to a young man in life. And I like how that sounded, so I consider myself young again. In addition to saying he's 100% sure he's not returning to baseball, the former Yankees captain...
He said, I'm returning to baseball.
He said... He said, I'm at the batting cages weekly. The former Yankees captain also talks about handling the spotlight, including the emotional moments of his final home game, which almost ended without his game-winning hit. He says, when we got into the eighth inning and, you know, fans started chanting, thank you, that's when I almost lost it on the field. And to be honest with you, if the game would have finished with the score at 5-2 like we all thought it was going to finish, then there's no telling what would have happened. But my emotions just immediately changed because they tied the game. And then now it's, you got to go in and hit. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe I had to go out and try to do this again. So everything changed from being sad to excited. And, you know, once I was excited, then I kept it together. And you can tune in to today, tomorrow, to catch the rest of the interview.
Unless you're listening tomorrow, then it would be already done.
Today and today. Tomorrow and tomorrow and today. Do you remember those ads?
I'm glad to pay you for a hamburger today. Tomorrow for hamburger today. Whatever the hell it is.
You know what? Normally I would roll my eyes and sort of glaze over at this whole
Derek
calamity
thing,
around
right?
him. Mm-hmm. But he is worthy of all of this. He is like the rare person who has conducted himself as a gentleman.
Absolutely. He's absolutely
on the field, off the field. He's played clean.
Scandal free. He's a good looking guy. He does good things. Absolutely.
He does good things. He has a good sense of humor. Like, I remember when he was on Saturday Night Live. I mean, he's really worthy of all of that. And like, I would like
and
to think
he
that-
is New York. Like, when you go there, that's like, if you're sleeping with a Mexican, you do, or Puerto Rican or anybody, you do not, or Cuban, you do not fuck around with Gloria Estefan or Jesus. Like, those are sacred. And if you're in New York, I'm sorry, Derek Jeter's like the Statue of Liberty. That's just off limits.
Go
like,
pee on the statue, but Derek Jeter...
You got something shitty to say in New York City, it doesn't... You If you want to live in the subway.
He's worthy of that. I could see kids looking up to him. I would hope kids would look up to him.
Absolutely. You know, he's been playing since I lost faith in baseball, which was many, many years ago. I was a baseball fan as a kid. I was the little kid with, like, the baseball mitt in my pocket all the time and baseball cards and everything. And then they went on strike for, like, the third time in 1994. And I was like, fuck you, people. No World Series. Go fuck yourself.
You're a big boycotter.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Did they not have a World Series 1 year?
Yeah. One year the baseball, I believe it was 94. Because I was still young.
I was underage.
Yeah, me too.
Oh.
Sure.
So nearly believable. I thought it was one of the...
Ooh, did I accidentally...
Don't throw your nuts at me. Last week his pussy was shouting at me. Just gets rapier every time I come here. And it was one of those, like, it was almost a Cinderella moment of getting the RBI at the last minute. It was so, like, Miracle on Ice with the nephew in the stands saluting, and then the mom saying, take off your hat for your uncle. And I was a weeping fucking mess watching that.
You would
shit.
Roll your eyes in a if it were in a movie.
Right. I would never, because I'd think Steven Spielberg was there and John Williams would be hitting me over the head with
I didn't get to
Symphony
see
Rise,
it.
Crescendo!
He sat here. It was just so well timed out, and it's a class act, and it was really, really nice.
Well deserved.
I read several accounts of his last game and, you know, his finish up as I was kind of preparing for the show, and I kind of teared up at a couple of them, like just how it went down and that last hit and everything. It's very sweet. Very sweet. And baseball will probably miss Derek Jeter.
And there's a Broadway play called Take Me Out,
mm-hmm.
which is where we get, and I can't think of his name, but he's in every movie you've ever seen in your fucking life.
Cumberbatch.
Yeah, not him.
Okay. He's in that? Oh, I was going to say.
No, that's the name that I've been screaming out for 2 weeks from the future when I re-listen back, because Al can't remember.
I never remember. Ember de Kumpelbink. So anyways, and it was a story about what if the best player on the Yankees and the most beloved player was gay?
Mm.
And what would they do? And he gets his agency sends a gay guy to help with his image. And the gay guy is very, like, queeny and feminine, and this is the guy that's in every movie you've ever seen, and he won the Tony for the performance.
There were just a way.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get there on IMDb. Okay. We can get to either way. Either Take Me Out or go to IMDb and look up Michael Clayton, because he's in that, too. But he's on every year. Dennis O'Hare. I'm like, he's on American Horror Story.
It's right. Dennis O'Hare.
Dennis O'Hare. So he plays the gay guy, and Daniel Sanjaya plays the Michael Jeter, you know, the vaguely... ethnic
Derek Jeterish
hot guy, and what right. they do about the showers. And it's just, it was this really touching story of Derek Jeter character was like, I'm in this macho profession, I'm a gay guy, I have no way to reach out to, like, anybody to, like, have a relationship, and
find
here's this, like,
people.
Really queeny guy who's lost. He lives in a sports world because he works in a sports agency, so he and they find each other, and it's not a love story, it's just about being friends and helping each other, like, mm-hmm. come out and make friends.
Sure.
And they win the Yankees win the World Series, and how everything goes down, and it's a great play. And it was, but it got a lot of people offended because they kind of hinted that Derek Jeter might be
the inspiration.
Many hope to.
But it was just about, high on the list.
Sure.
Chief and among them.
Stalker premieres tomorrow.
I don't know why y'all look at me.
Because you've been asking about it. So I just want to set your DVR at Stalker tomorrow. Write that down.
How do you spell that?
The Yankees aren't going to win the World Series this year. And we don't know who is going to, because the Major League Baseball playoffs are beginning tonight, in fact. As the Oakland A's face off against the sentimental favorites, the Kansas City Royals, who I don't think anybody's ever said anything about the Kansas City Royals in about 20 years.
Why are they sentimental favorites?
Well, because the franchise last appeared in the postseason in 1985.
Oh, well,
when George Brett finished second in the MVP voting and Brett Saberhagen took home his first of two Cy Young awards. Major League Baseball is also very sentimental about the Youngs, and they posted a handy photo on Instagram, which offers a brief time capsule into 1985. Stating that the president was Ronald Reagan, gallon of gas, $1.09.
Jesus.
The Missy Elmobile was introduced to North America.
Oh.
That wasn't on the meme, but the best picture was Out of Africa. Number one song was Careless Whisper.
Remember when Jane Pauley used to do that on Dateline?
Which?
And she would do that exact thing.
Oh, this year in history?
The timeline. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Microsoft releases Windows 1.0 and compact discs were released in the United States.
Yikes.
And the very first, and one of the first ones, Barbra Streisand, the Broadway album. If you got the CD, you got the bonus track of Adelaide's Lament.
1985. So guess who a good year.
Guess when I got a CD player? 1985! Well guessed.
That's when I got mine.
So the Royals,
'cause I wanted Adelaide's Lament.
The Royals have not seen an October in a very long time, and so that making them the sentimental favorites. They will likely kick themselves for slipping up in the second half of the season and allowing the Detroit Tigers to win the American League Central. But as long as they make it through the one-game playoff unscathed, all will be forgiven.
And the Kansas City Royals actually play here quite a bit. They do spring training. They're one of the teams that does spring training here. So they have a lot of people come out here for that. So,
So they're doing very well this year. And stand by for more updates on baseball forthcoming in the next coming couple of weeks because playoffs are happening.
So if the Yankees make it, will...
Yankees are done.
How come?
They didn't
because they didn't win.
They didn't.
That's why Derek Jeter's last game was this weekend.
Because they're not going to the playoffs.
Oh, but they won, didn't they?
They won that game.
They won his last home game, but they did not win enough games over the season to make it to the playoffs.
To qualify to get into the top 10.
Thank
you. Let me put it in pageant terms. Let me help you out there.
Give her a pageant.
Let me rapier it for you.
Shiny.
They did not make it past on stage questions. Okay.
Thank you.
That was good, Kat. They're going to surprise Rosie Perez and have him on The View.
Oh,
like,
are they?
They're not even like hiding that.
They were very like less than vaguely hinting about Derek Jeter being on The View when I was binge watching today. So yeah, I'm sure.
Don't you seriously though love Nicole?
I do. No, Nicole Wallace is fantastic. I'm back mostly because Rosie O'Donnell is back. I left when she left. Back to The View. Yeah. No, good show. There's something about Rosie Price.
And I've invested 18 fucking years in that show. You know what I mean? I can't give up now.
Oh, yeah. You better just continue. So speaking of continuing in a long tradition started by Katie June of following Lady Basketball. I don't know.
Long tradition.
I heard Katie Lang, and then I realized you said Katie June.
Did I say Katie June?
same vein, if you will.
But who did you really
say? Same orientation. I meant Katie June.
That's what I heard.
Said Katie what Lang. I heard was is no, I June think... to start by Katie Lang.
No, I heard Katie June.
Oh, thank God.
Nuts.
This week in Lady
Things
Basketball.
That'll take you a week to chew?
Sunday night was no party for Team USA with the reigning women's world champions unbeaten run of 35 international games coming close to being threatened by a Serbian team riding high on speed.
Fucking
and skill.
Serbians.
USA dug deep right into Serbians. Their reserves in the fourth quarter to blow open the tight game and post what looked like an easy 94-74 win that booked their place in Friday's quarterfinals. Their coach is simply not worried. He says, "It takes us time because this is our training camp. These games are kind of like our training camp. These last five or six games we played in Paris in the exhibition series."
No, stop.
And here.
What is this? I don't understand.
Oh, because the WNBA, I'll field this one. The WNBA doesn't have enough viewership to play like a whole season. They do like a little mini American season, and then they all become one team of lesbians, and they go invade the rest of the world. And they become like it's like the Olympics. So we have the Team USA made up of all the best players from the WNBA, and they like all basketball.
I love how he just. Be cliff notes this whole goddamn thing. I love it.
Like all basketball, we dominate the world. We invented the sport. We're really good at it. Like it's like a jazz off. So we win.
Jazz hands.
A lot. Yeah.
So now these lesbians are all in Paris. A complete waste of Paris and lesbians.
Well, they're
sorry,
in Turkey
Molly.
Now. They're, no.
Complete waste of Paris. I didn't know that.
Cliff's noting.
Never heard.
Yeah.
Of that.
There's an international women's basketball tournament happening now.
Clits noting.
Clits noting.
Thank
does
you.
The NBA do that? Does football?
The
do that?
NBA also does that. The men's FIBA tournament just ended, I believe, because NBA is beginning now.
But they have a much longer. American season and a much shorter international season. But
this is new to me. I never. Did you know this?
I've heard of it, but I don't pay
because of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know
because
that
I brought it up last week. I think.
Gotcha. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
That's fine.
Well,
I don't like not knowing things.
What's that gay guy that used to sit over there?
Buddy.
Buddy was the one that told us about how the NBA has to go like earn money overseas.
Yeah.
Because they play such a short
that
season.
That makes sense.
The season's only like four.
And no one comes.
Four or five months. No, they were on the brink of bankruptcy and they've completely turned it around. All the stuff they're
all
doing.
All the leagues are doing well or just the ones that are winning? Because like I know we won.
Yeah.
No, like all of them are getting their actual. They're not getting viewership on TV, but their attendance is
up
because Katie June buys tickets for everybody and takes them. That's why.
Last time I went to a Mercury game, there was nobody there. I was horrified for them.
Yeah, WNBA. The Phoenix Mercury does pretty well, especially in years that they win. Like this year was a really good year because they went on long mm-hmm. winning streaks. They also have really great partnerships that kind of help with that. Fry's buys an entire section. Like if you can't afford the $15 to go see a Mercury game, go buy your groceries at Fry's and save your receipts during Mercury season. And if you spend $50 or more, they give you two tickets. And you
I just hate go to hijack this right now.
Please.
But speaking of Fry's, the Fry's at 7th Avenue and Camelback does not have a bike rack, has not had a bike rack for 3 months.
I brought this up and they shut me down the other day saying that it was back. And I brought this up two weeks ago.
Oh, it's not back. Because I just tweeted. They tweet back to me every time. And I still don't have a bike rack.
No, you got to lock your bike to the. I lock it to the shopping cart.
So that people can crash their cart into your bike.
Yeah.
You know what I do now? I lock it to a cart that's already locked because you can't pick up.
Right.
You know what? I want everybody, if you're listening or if you're in the chat room, go and tweet them about this. Maybe if like 10 people tweet them and say, "Hey, Fry's Groceries, what's
our
the
hashtag?
Deal?
What's our hashtag?"
Well, I don't know.
Fry's fucking sucks.
Save Barbara's bike. But I literally, I'll put a picture on my Facebook and you guys can all send it to them and say, hey, fix the, because they literally write back within like 2 hours every time they write back and they take your tweet down. They write you back, but then they take
it. Why don't you get a sign and go protest in front of the store?
Go on.
I guess I could do that on Monday nights.
There you go.
Union.
Go ahead, Kat.
Thank you, Norm. Barbara Ray.
So... Thinking good thoughts as Team USA continues into the quarterfinals. Their next game is on Friday.
Ooh.
They will play either France or Brazil, depending on tomorrow night's
depending
game.
Depending on what their pubic hair looks like.
Exactly.
Oh.
Lord.
Check me.
I'm sorry. That was kind of rapier.
Wow.
Do they sell kits
it's
for that?
For
I feel like I need a rapier kit at this point.
You may. We'll get you one.
In some states, you have to pay for those yourself.
Good Lord.
Like a Pop-Tart?
Moving along, let's talk about the gays.
You've something recently been rapiered. Would you like a Pop-Tart?
Perhaps. Are you going to toast it for me?
Sure.
I don't have that kind of time.
That's fine. I understand. I'll take it raw.
Take it raw. Wow.
Take it raw. Wow.
Read your story, Kat. Read your story.
Oh, God. I'm uncomfortable.
Over the Supreme Court's 2014 docket of interesting cases is the blockbuster issue of gay marriages. The justices met behind closed doors on Monday to discuss whether to hear one or more cases challenging marriage bans in 5 states. This set of issues is the greatest civil rights issue of our time, says former acting Solicitor
Grayest
General.
Greatest or greatest?
Greatest.
Sorry.
Greatest.
No, either one works.
I'm humble.
Ruth Bader's cunt flaps are probably gray. Let's just say it.
Blue waffle. That's all I gotta say.
Oh!
Blue waffle.
I still want my action doll. My dinner with Ruth Bader. Do you get it?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. See, that's the reaction you should have to that joke. Thank
Sit
you.
Sit down and butter your muffins, cunt flap.
It's weird to hear my own voice yell at me.
Isn't it annoying?
That's gonna come up in therapy.
What's Ginsburg talking about? Come on. Keep going.
Shut it.
Ooh. You got served.
This set of issues is the greatest civil rights issue of our time, says former acting Solicitor General Neil Katyal, who is representing one set of challengers. Since the Supreme Court's historic gay marriage rulings in 2013, 3 appellate courts have struck bans in 5 states. In an unusual circumstance, Katyal and the other challengers have asked the Supreme Court to step in despite having won in the lower court, which I thought was interesting. Here's the sentiment according to Katyal. Let us have our shot in court and win on a national level. The court could decide not to get involved at all, but the executive director of the Supreme Court Institute at Georgetown Law thinks it's not a question of if, but when. At a recent event, he said that the court might take a few weeks to discuss which cases to take, but that the justices will eventually grant cert and give a definitive answer this term.
I think they're gonna cherry pick which case they take and decide which one has the best chances of passing.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about that. They're waiting for the Sixth Circuit to hand down their judgment. And if the Sixth Circuit stays with the rest of the trend, then they won't do anything. Then they're going to ignore it.
They're just going to ignore it. And so if they say no, they're going to intervene?
Then they'll then they have to take it up, because then you have like 95%.
Right.
Yeah, you have one dissension. So now you have to make up their mind. And because of who the Sixth Circuit covers, which is like Ohio, Kentucky, it's kind of like Rust Belt and South. It like starts.
Yeah, it was kind of Ohio, Tennessee, Kentucky, and
very Tennessee River Valley kind of ish. If my geography's correct. So like that's what Ruth Bader keeps saying is if it they're kind of waiting to see what the Sixth Circuit does. And I just Googled and they don't look like they're any closer.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked it up earlier today and there didn't seem to be any movement. But, everything's just talking about, you know, the Supreme Court and if
I'm sorry, they have started scheduled oral arguments for October 7th. So we're still a week away.
Yeah.
Because I thought the decision – I thought the Supreme Court was going to hand – was going to decide on theirs for – we're going to announce today
right.
for the first Monday in October. So it's they're going to be a ways.
They don't have to announce, I don't think. The session starts October 6th.
But the news was saying that they were going to announce before they even went in whether they were going to take it. Yeah, which is strange.
I'm fascinated by the Supreme Court.
Yeah. I am too. Well, it's a very interesting thing to read about. It honestly is.
It's very cool. And overshadowed by the gay marriage debate are the actual cases which the court will begin considering when oral arguments begin on October 6th. And here is a rundown of some of the other cases. Number one, there's a free speech in the age of Facebook. It says after his wife left him, Anthony Alonis took to posting violent passages on Facebook. Did you know it's illegal for me to say I want to kill my wife? He posted in one. Hell hath no fury like a crazy man in a kindergarten class, he wrote in another.
Oh, that sounds like you'd read that.
He was convicted under a federal threat statute, but Alonis argues that he never intended to carry out a threat, and he was expressing himself at times using song lyrics that are similar to the music produced by rap star Eminem. At issue in the case is under what circumstances the government can punish speech as a threat. It's an interesting intersection of internet speech, rap music, and the First Amendment.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Number two, religious freedom in prison. Gregory Holt pled guilty in 2005 for threatening to kidnap and harm the daughters of George W. Bush. In 2010, he was convicted of first-degree domestic battering and sentenced to life. Once in prison, Holt said he wanted to grow a beard in accordance with his Muslim faith. But while the Arkansas Department of Corrections allows mustaches, it forbids other facial hair. Quarter-inch beards are permitted only for diagnosed dermatological problems. And Holt says the prison is violating his rights under a federal law specifically designed to protect religious exercise for prisoners. But corrections officials say the court should give deference to a policy that was crafted to keep inmates from hiding contraband and to protect security.
So in case you arrest the Duck Dynasty people and they're smuggling in a weapon.
Right, yeah, they shave all the beards off and this guy's sorry. Saying...
I need to call them by their Christian name, the Duck Fuckers.
They're actually an off-brand Halloween costume right now. I saw it the other day.
Duck Fuckers?
That Duck Dynasty thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're called like American Hillbillies or something like that.
Well, that pretty much sums it up.
Because you can't infringe on their trademark. See, I get really mixed feelings about that.
Yeah, you know, I do too. I get religious freedom, but once you're convicted of some pretty serious crimes, then don't you lose all of all of your rights?
I don't
think so either. And that's what I was, if it's religious, keep the fucking beard.
If we do, if we're going to go down that road,
sure.
You go down that road all the way and you start curtailing those freedoms in general. But no, I mean, that's not what America is. And I mean, just like the guy, the Muslim football player who stopped and prayed after scoring.
And bowed.
Abdullah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he bowed to the east.
Yeah, he bowed. And the officiant, did he?
He got a
was it a technical foul?
No, we got a penalty for a penalty. Celebration. What's that called?
Uh-huh.
In the end zone.
Excessive celebration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was really stupid after Tebow did all his shit.
It's fucked up.
And the people that sit around and make a prayer circle during a field goal, like, come on. We have a lot of religious expression over
there. And I know these people are in prison, but, you know, we're still in America, and, you know, I don't know. Man.
I don't know. Yeah, that's one of those things where either you're for freedom of religion or you're just freedom for some religions. Like you have to, you're in or you're out. That's one of those things. You got to go. And that was a really. And the NFL apologized for it today.
Yeah,
like they were like, should not have been penalized.
Sure.
Because all I got to do is put up a picture of Tim Tebow,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, no, we're done. Or seriously, like every time someone kicks a field goal, there's a prayer circle over there. They're basically knitting. You know what I mean? I mean
ooh,
they
can we knit. I agree totally, and I think it's fucked up.
Yeah,
and I agree. I mean, I think
I say shave his fucking beard. Like he's, you know, they've. I mean, because I'm on the Supreme Court, so.
You say shave it?
Yep. Yep. If it poses a security threat and it's already the policy at the prison, like,
is it a genuine security threat?
I don't know. I'm not. I've only seen Orange Is the New Black. I don't know what you can smuggle in a beard.
Well, that beard. Brazilian or French, man.
Yeah. Wow.
Rapier. I'm not Rapier. Talking clams here, friend. I'm not talking clams.
What in the hell is going on?
What am I sharing with you now? All right, I'll do a peanut.
Where's your, all right. Take the cap off, Joan. Oh. It won't pour without Jesus Christ. You are trying. You have to unscrew the cap. What happened here? Did you chug the other bottle?
I shared some with him.
Together.
Oh, no. I just thought I didn't know how much he'd already polished off.
Not enough. Not enough. I'm not Rapier enough.
Fair enough. We'll talk about two more cases they're taking, and then I'm done.
Okay.
Alabama redistricting. The Alabama Legislative Black Caucus and the Alabama Democratic Conference are challenging a 2012 redistricting plan adopted by a Republican-led legislature. They say the plan packed African Americans into existing majority black districts and diluted their influence. Alabama's attorney general says in part that the drafters of the plan were seeking to comply with the Voting Rights Act by keeping the majority black districts under the new plan about the same as the ones in the previous plan. This will be the first voting rights case heard by the justices since a divided court struck down a key provision of the Voting Rights Act.
Where is this again?
This is a big fucking deal. Gerrymandering is it's running rampant, and yes, the Democrats do it in New York State. There's a lot of it in the districts, especially Long Island, where they cut big wide swaths to get it.
Oh yeah,
and they do it in California to get the Republicans all off in their little area so they don't bleed into other places. But down south, it's gotten out of control, which is why the Republicans control Congress, but they received less votes than the Democrats because they're so concentrated in the South, and if you follow those lines, it's like that is just a crazy bunch of bullshit.
It is crazy town.
And Arizona's done it, which is why we have
several times
three. Well, we have three Democratic congressmen: Ed Pastor, bisexual, and the other one,
Ann Kirkpatrick,
and
Kirsten Sinema.
But you have those three who are pretty much guaranteed because downtown. Phoenix,
we got Ron Barber too.
But I mean, those are the three that I know that are just kind of like unless something really horrible happens, they can't redistrict these areas to make them ever go back to being Republican. Like it's an urban center,
right?
And it's especially after 2008 with how everything went wrong and all the white flight stopped and everybody moved back into the city out of like the stupid ass fucking parts of Arizona where no one should ever live. But they really did stop that. So
put
now,
those people on the list.
Yeah. Stupid ass. Yes, they should be.
But now you have people that will never lose their seats. Like, even though no one likes Congress, there's all this desire for change, no one's ever going to vote for the other team because they're in districts where it's like 95% to 5% of how the it's made up. Like, even if someone made a big swell, downtown is not going to get a Republican.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
SB 1070. Like, it's not going to happen.
Right.
It kind of screws up that one part of our government that's so important, and you end up with like the big change last time was like Alan West getting kicked out of that Rapier part of Florida, and that part I meant Rapier, like Rapier. Like the fact that he lost by 0.5%, is one of the stupidest men that's ever existed.
Yeah. What is he doing now?
Oh, he's on Fox News telling us that the war in Iraq is already lost and we should all just send everybody home and hire a private militia. Like he's just so stupid, but he was never going to lose, and somebody had to beat him by like 5 votes, and it took 4 days to decide the election. It was
he didn't give up.
Oh. No, he didn't give up, but he shouldn't have to because that district was so gerrymandered to make him win. That think of how stupid you have to be to actually
lose the election.
And like Michelle Bachmann had to quit because they can't redistrict her into a winning position. She's offended so many people that they can't even find 50% of any group that are like, she's not a cunt.
Right.
Well, sorry, 50.1. Like, no, and that's why she resigned. She's already resigned her seat because they told her, like, you came so close last time that you.
We're not giving you any money. Well, we're not spending our time on you.
There's no way to woo anybody. Like, there's no one you're going to woo. There's not some 17-year-old about to turn 18 that's like, wow, she's fantastic. I was hoping to find a stupid person to vote for. You know, I was meaning to vote for a cunt this year. Is she available?
I remember when Sarah Palin was running for vice president, my sister was kind of into her a little bit.
Really?
And my sister was like, well, God, she just, I mean, she's just normal. She reminds me of me. And I remember, my sister's a good person. She's sure. a smart person. And, you know, she takes care of herself. But I remember saying, I was like, Anne, do you want someone like you?
That's a fair question. I don't know president? That I would elect me.
I mean, I don't. I don't want someone like me to be the president.
I thought you were going to encourage her and say, you know, you're far smarter than her, but no, you went the other route.
What, somebody like you?
That's honest.
You went the rapier way. I mean,
you don't want that.
Right.
No.
I wouldn't elect me.
Well.
And finally, finishing
we all
up
don't have to answer that question, do we? If we would elect her?
Shut it.
Okay.
I believe in you probably more than you believe in you.
Possibly.
Probably.
I believe
we're
in
not
going to
vote on that, are we?
No.
What's the last
I
part?
Almost made it through my segment without saying fuck it.
We're not done yet.
That's not fun.
Last section, the last case that we're going to talk about that the Supreme Court will hear this term is about pregnancy discrimination. Mm. Peggy Young, an employee of UPS, the United Parcel Service, became pregnant in 2006 and was told by her doctor not to lift anything heavier than 20 pounds for the first 20 weeks of pregnancy. Young asked her supervisor for an accommodation for her pregnancy-related lifting restrictions. She was told that UPS, governed by a collective bargaining agreement, did not give light duty for pregnancy. Young sued under the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, or the PDA, arguing that the law requires employers to provide the same accommodations it provides to non-pregnant employees who are similar in their ability or inability to work. UPS indeed offers light work accommodations to a subset of workers who are injured on the job, have a disability defined by the Americans with Disabilities Act, or lose their Department of Transportation certification. But UPS says it has a pregnancy-neutral policy and that Young was treated exactly the same way as the company treats all employees, pregnant or not, who are unable to perform essential functions of the job as a result of an off-the-job injury or condition.
Yeah, you should go to a light duty.
I mean, you should, but they said no. They said, no, you can't go on light duty. Like, we don't consider pregnancy to be an issue.
It should be.
Absolutely.
That should be a note from your doctor saying light duty. Like, yeah. you're going to audit files or you're going to, like... You're going to deal with the window lickers coming in to complain about the color of the brown truck.
Well, we can hope that the Supreme Court feels the same way that we do.
I always hope that, though.
And rules in favor.
Well, do you think people actually complain about the color of the truck?
You know they complain about everything.
True.
Because you're only two comments away from Obama, you're on brown. You're going to be a communist. Jesus.
That's true.
Or Muslim.
You get to Obama
seriously,
really
read,
fast with brown.
Read fanboy pages. I'm just telling you. Go on IB. Fifth comment down. And you'll be like, if they get there in less than five, I'm always kind of amazed. Oh. But I do, because the election coming up is so important and no one fucking knows about it.
No one's talking about
it. No one knows about it. The only good thing is that this whole like bombing of ISIS is kind of turning into the October surprise, where there is a little bit of momentum swinging towards the Democrats.
Because we're kicking their ass right now? Or trying
no,
to?
No, because we're coming off as tough on national security. So that is kind of helping, that it's improving the image that comes up. But, like, there's so much important stuff coming up, and you have all these people that, like, have no idea that there's midterm elections, what they're about, mm-hmm. what they're doing. And what's her name? Nancy Pelosi's daughter, Alexandra Pelosi, is a filmmaker, brilliant woman, and she goes around and she does documentaries where she just stands in parking lots and she talks to people and they're like,
she's funny.
And she doesn't mean to be funny. She's just it's kind of like Jay Leno man on the street interviews.
The jaywalking.
You're just showing how stupid people are, that the guy's like, well, I'm going to vote Republican. She's like, well, are you against shutting down Planned Parenthood? Are you against defunding Social Security? Are you against this? He's like, well, no, I don't want any of those things to happen. Then why would you vote Republican?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's like, oh. You know what I mean? And they don't know what to do. Or you get people that are like, I don't know who my congressman is. I don't know what I'm voting for. Like, I don't know who to vote for sheriff or dog catcher or school. Mm-hmm. But I have kids in school and I'm going to bitch about the school, mm-hmm. but then I'm not going to go vote. So this thing about what's coming up in the Supreme, I think it's just so important to know, like, what's coming up in the Supreme Court. Because if Mitt Romney got to replace Ruth Bader, we'd be fucked up a creek.
Yeah.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, although I interrupt you all the time, I'm very appreciative.
No, you're fine. I'm adapting to the format
of me talking all the time.
Absolutely,
that's good. That's nice to know.
We've been doing this
for 2.5 years, and it's not better.
I've been doing it for 4 episodes. So yeah. I'm still.
So you've been listening, and it's different to listen than to try to interject with this fucker.
I actually pay attention when I listen.
I find that too because there's a lot of times I'm like, I didn't know what the fuck that news story was. Like, I can't wait to listen back and find out what really happened in that chicken truck. As I take over the show,
thought out.
How many loads? Now, we had a question for you last week, but you weren't sitting there, so now you're here. Is the Facebook story with the real names and all that stuff? Like, what is the nitty gritty issue
about this and the drag queens? Do you know any more than
my first instinct was to believe that it was an urban legend and people were falling for it, that Facebook was kicking off
real.
The drag queens.
They're not kicking off drag queens. They're not targeting drag queens. They are wanting people to comply with the terms of service that you clicked that you would comply with. I would love to be Barbara Seville on Facebook. They don't want you to be. They want you to have your real name because, and I've read two different things about it. Number one, they say that being accountable for what you post
when you're doing the
keeps you honest and keeps you friendlier. Number two, and this I didn't read from Facebook, but I've read it from people who are social media watchers. They say that for Facebook to expand in other countries, because libel laws and slander laws are different, they need to know who you are. They want to know who you are because certain countries don't want to have all this madness going on in their place because the degrees of slander or libel are different.
So did Facebook contact you directly and say, hey, no. Barbara Seville, we know...
No, but it did. It contacted a lot of people and just flat out canceled their account.
Oh, and I thought yours had been canceled and you had to reboot.
I was sort of preemptive.
Oh, okay. I thought I read a thing of yours that like, oh, before they cancel me. That's what it was before.
Yeah, so I switched it before.
Your rape or your...
You don't have to name names, but was anyone locally like canceled? And then is that how we found out about it? Or is
One drag queen who doesn't live here anymore is one who... It happened to my friend Ursula.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Ophelia Buns. Come on. She's got to be the first one on the chopping block because that's not a name.
Well, she doesn't have very many followers. She's not, she's not really a flag.
Yeah. Rapier wit.
She's now, big in Flagstaff
but,
right here.
But
she is.
But it is fine to
big
make a like page or a fan page.
And that's why.
So did you make a Barbara Seville fan page?
Or do you already have one?
I've always had a fan page.
Okay.
Because
and you're just waiting for that first fan, right?
Back when you could only have 2,500 followers on your Facebook, or not followers, friends.
Friends.
I created a thing, and then right after that, they expanded it to 5,000.
5,000, right.
But I have a like, but they say that, and I guess it's not even a they say, it's just fact that your distribution is different when you're a like page.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't get the priority that a personal page does. And right. So a lot of people think that this is just a way to generate revenue so that you would, because you can, for $20, I can get my fan page posts to pop up more frequently on
$20
on
a
people
month.
In Phoenix. Yeah.
$20 a month. Okay.
So some people say it's a way to generate revenue.
In fairness, that is all that that's about.
It's a business.
Yeah. It is. Sure. And it didn't cost me a dime to sign up. And we reap benefits. Not that we make anything monetarily off of this, but because we post, all of us post for the show, more and more people have found us. Though, again, we don't make anything off of it. But you can certainly see that you trend more because of the visibility. So I understand for certain places, bars, restaurants, they want it. The $20 a month is nothing for them.
I made that number up. I know that when I had my party, my Madonna party, I paid $20 a week to advertise my event. And it did hit. It definitely...
did it?
Yeah, it definitely
a difference.
It reached more people because it would they would just feed it into other people's feeds that would normally not get it.
Sure. And I get those ads from different addictive.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's a political site. There's a couple of political sites that I notice they must be doing something because they bombard me with. And the worst part is I think it's Addicting Info.
Yeah, Addicting Info.
And I read almost every one of them.
That's why it's popping up is because you read it.
Yeah.
If you click on it, I mean, it's going
to. It's already got it right.
No, but they're also putting, like, there's other things that come up that I'm like, wow, you must be paying because I've never read you before.
I'm in the minority on my sort of balanced opinion on it because most everybody is just outraged and they're upset. And I'm like, you guys, you know what? We are not in the Constitution guaranteed a right to Facebook.
Yeah.
So you guys all need to slow the fuck down. And I was like, well, what about... No, sorry, you guys. If you're in a situation of domestic violence, I hate to say it, but you know what? Maybe you need to take yourself off the off the grid for a minute. Maybe, maybe Facebook doesn't need to guarantee you a safe platform. If your family doesn't approve of you, of your lifestyle, maybe Facebook doesn't have to allow for that. Is that, am I wildly?
No. I mean, I kind of get that. And I'm, because my thing is,
if
like,
you're being stalked, maybe you should be able to, not that it's your fault, but maybe you just, maybe
you're too visible.
At the end of the day, nobody's ever read them and we've all lied about it, but those terms of service are binding.
We clicked them. Like, we said clicked yes.
It. We said yes. We said absolutely. Yeah. I agree to whatever the fuck that was that I just scrolled past.
And but on the other hand, like there has to be a way for those people in those areas that don't have anywhere to reach out to besides coming to QTalkAmerica.com and clicking on our show.
But which is the only show there is.
Yeah, but there is a way to there has to be a way for them to anonymously meet people or find people without putting their name out there that can come back and haunt them.
Well, there's nothing that says that I have to have Clayton Allen McKee Thank on you. It. I could just have CA. I could just go by Allen. I think they're not. They're more worried about.
Well, that's my question was, do I, because my name is not Al T. Perkins. So that's
nobody's gonna fucking clock that,
right? But that's what I mean. Like, is somebody gonna come down and be like, "You need to correct that and get rid of but this unless, and change that"?
I mean, maybe someday. But and
well, you your name's not Cat.
But how? My name's not Cat. No, certainly. But you always have the choice to stop using their service,
like, right? And if it
thank
came,
you.
Well, but if it came down to it, then yeah, I probably because then I'd be like, well, now like I don't go by Alfred that often. I do go, you know, I do go by it, but. It's not me.
No, my Isn't Facebook's never going to say though? Catherine.
Aren't you Alfred in here?
No, I'm Al T. Perkins.
Where do you pop up as Alfred?
In your phone?
Yeah, I don't.
In your dreams?
Is your email address that way?
No, it's Missy L. Everything else about me is Missy L. Like, every other thing about me ever written.
But no,
is
I agree. You don't need to be Richard Devlin Stevens III, June 19th, 1981. You know what I mean?
Give away all your information, well, would that's you, please? A lot of would you give it all? Would you want your phone number? And your.
I last four of your social
1981. Am I Thank supposed you. To believe that?
I was just happy that slipped by.
That lived for a second.
It was in the ether for a moment.
I was told there'd be no math, but I'm like, wait a minute, bitch.
That's fantastic, because at that exact moment I went, I'm not older than you are.
Then I'm like, wait a minute, that makes you younger than Jason Carlton.
And there's no way that's possible.
Oh, my. Well,
I'm not good at math.
We might want to change cosmetics.
Well,
what are you wearing now?
Listen, rapier.
Is that moose and squirrel in that hair? What's going on there, Richard?
So tired of but being the one thing that way. I the one way that I do agree with it is with the defamation of people and how awful it gets. And I love chat rooms. I'll read a news story and sometimes I suffer through to the end just to get to the comment section because I want to know like people's opinions on it. But then it just gets so ugly into like, oh, you're a stupid racist or you're this or you're that, and it goes ugly so fast that all intelligent conversation has just left the room, and now you're just at like name calling, which has a place about comment 20 or 21 because they are all stupid. So I get that with if you had your real name on there and people knew like you were Al Perkins from Phoenix and you said this, they're going to be able to like email you and be like, "We're coming for you, bitch!" Like if you're going to keep saying that awful shit, we know where you are. Sure. Because you have to take some accountability. I mean, you see these people that are like, you know, John T. Sousa, and you know that's kind of a real name, but you know what I mean.
Say, I think we're friends.
When you're like when you're like Annie Lover or something stupid, and then you say that shit about people, and there's threats in there. There's legitimate threats. Yeah. And then if they have a really important story on Fox News, they shut down the comments for like the first 4 hours.
Oh, so people have to read it.
They can't be they can't have all racist listeners for a little while, like.
Make it a little less rapier.
That's good for them.
Yeah, exactly.
A little less rapier. Well, speaking of rapier, we are about to get into our final, the rapiest section of all in our show. It's a little time.
We're just putting that word anywhere.
We are going to go into our final segment of the show called Thoughtful Vulgarity. It goes something like this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
I bet you can't.
Alrighty. You've been warned.
Uh-huh.
Good luck.
Yeah.
All right.
Here we go.
Is Jeff Muir?
So we're going to... What?
Sorry, I was checking Facebook and somebody commented. I'm like, who the fuck is Jeff Muir?
I work with them.
Do you?
What'd you say?
Well, he said he loves my picture.
Oh, wow.
What?
No concern.
Mir. Oh no, spelled. Oh my god. Okay, different spelling. I'm like, wow, that's gonna be a conversation at work.
It wouldn't surprise me. I'm always 3 degrees from everyone.
All right,
carry on.
I got you. What do you do when someone is eating food in front of you and you want them to talk?
Just wait.
So speaking of defamation, and this actually, well, I think all of us have had a microphone in front of our face at some point.
Well, maybe now.
Just now, yeah.
Like
I spent most of my life with talking into something that's not alive.
Yeah. Living in that radio.
Yeah, there you go, right
Fuck
here.
You. Yeah, fuck you.
I'm talking into something. It doesn't answer until the penis blooms. What was it?
Because of
an STD?
The coma plant. What's it called? No, the coma
plant.
The corpse flower.
The giant penis plant.
Now, do you find yourself, like, especially, we'll
make this more specific to you.
There I am. With in drag, like, do you find yourself being a little, I don't want to say shittier, because that's kind of not what you're about, but...
Shitty Barbara Seville.
Do you find yourself being a little bit more aggressive in drag or when you're like microphone in hand than you would be like someone face to face? Like, do you find yourself saying like a little bit more off the cuff? Like,
well, I'm designed to entertain and to elicit a response. So that's.
I think we're all gonna hide under that umbrella.
I was afraid you were gonna say you. Well, I'm drawn that way. I'm like, whatever, Jessica Rabbit.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why you're on stage is to, you know, to be provocative.
When do you start entertaining? I was waiting.
I'm gonna start this week. I take 10 on, 10 years on, 10 years off.
All right. What time I'll be there?
Yeah, can we all show up?
Actually, I found myself a little embarrassed. I was a little rough with somebody a couple shows ago, but they were a complete idiot and deserved it. And like, had they just kept their mouth shut,
said the bully.
Right. No, it was really me reacting to somebody who was just so far out of line that I was like, and afterwards I was like, oh God, did you have to really be that way? Because it reminded me of someone who I don't want to be like, actually.
Joan Rivers?
No.
Oh.
But did you...
I know who you're talking... I know exactly.
Yeah.
You played into something you shouldn't have played into. Yeah.
And the audience laughed at it, and then I could feel the discomfort afterwards, and I was like, oh, fuck. And it was embarrassing. But I think
walk away, and you're still staying there. I think that's the problem
and
with
I use the legendary, infamous Tish Tanner line. I said, you know what, babe? You know, you're making an asshole out of yourself for free. I'm getting paid for it, so just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to just make... You know, we're both being idiots, but you're doing it for free. And this fool wouldn't shut up and, you know, was just carrying on. But I was embarrassed how rough I was with him. But I would have done that in drag or out of drag.
Okay. So, like now that you've been doing this for a few weeks, do you find yourself being, like,
ashamed of the things that I've done? That actually happens to me kind of often when I have a mic in front of my face and I've, you know, working at the bar, I've hosted and taught.
We've all done hosting things.
We've all done things.
Different venues.
Yeah, you know, I've DJed and I did like weekly dance lessons for a long time. So, you know, I had that audience.
Can't tell.
I know. But yeah, I found myself kind of often kind of tripping into that like one step too far for kind of the shock value and then going, oh, fuck. Yeah, I said that out loud. Yeah, shouldn't do that. So yeah, was that the question?
Yeah, and
I stopped listening.
Yeah, that's fair.
You are learning. You are learning, quick grasshopper.
It's a question about a chicken in an ice tray with a big load. Oh, and there's the load now.
Can you say load if you want to?
Jesus Christ!
Just to make it more rapier in my mind.
More.
No, but it like do you find yourself like you would never do that without the microphone? Like you'd never take that step.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
I think. But I don't know, like, most of my, like, human interaction is when I'm on at some point.
Yeah.
I'm such a hermit when I'm not on. Like, I'm at home and I'm with, you know, just the family and the kids and even them, I want them to leave me the fuck alone most of the time. It's true.
I love it.
It's true. So, yeah, most of the time when I'm interacting with someone, I'm on some point or another. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I wouldn't do that in person, if that makes sense.
All right, yeah. My answer is going to follow that up if I remember what you said in 2 minutes.
Fair enough.
If not, I'll remember it in my car when I hear this.
I should have said that. No, I think I'm going to go along with that. I think when you've got a mic in front of you, and 9 times out of 10, when I have a mic in front of me, I'm not in the studio. I am at the bar or in a venue where I'm in front of everybody and they're waiting for that next smart aleck comment or whatever I'm going to do. So it, I think it lends itself to, for that freedom where you can say whatever you want because you've got a mic, though we all self-govern ourselves. And like Richard said, he even felt the effects of what he inadvertently said to whoever
he was. But do you think it would do it? You would do it?
No.
That, okay.
No, I don't think, I think there's a lot, and I think a lot of the, in just regards to some of what you said, you were kind of, you say you're kind of a hermit when you're at home. I think a lot of people would find it, I mean, you guys are all friends of mine and you've seen me outside of, you know, just at home. I'm just as happy with NPR or no music at all in my workshop, just doing stuff and not being in the public eye. I just happened to choose part of a career path that put me in front of everybody. And I do enjoy it. And I think a lot of what we've done has done a lot of good for a lot of other people with fundraising and so forth. But I'm though I enjoy that being out there, and I do say things that otherwise I wouldn't say if I didn't have that format, like you say, you're on when you talk to people. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm the same way. I know that I'm oftentimes I am. But, I mean, what is it? What is it, Barbara? You said put a couple beers in the barefoot Contessa and see how she feels about it. I mean,
ask her about Orientals.
You get it. You give me a couple. Drinks in, and it starts. You know that
lowers
quiet
those inhibitions.
Shield. Yeah, and then I just start spouting off. But no, I'm similar to what Kat just said. I'm just as happy working in my backyard on something or in my shop or just and not being on that stage, but. The mic lends my mouth to run a little more. Yeah. I mean, and here's another. I mean, we say stuff here that I don't think we would necessarily say sitting on the patio of a local restaurant.
I'm already worried about Thanksgiving because I'm certain my mother has downloaded at least one, and I'm like, oh no.
So that's what she was doing.
Catherine, can we talk?
Seriously. No, she would never, though. She will just silently judge me. She won't even say a word.
And just push play.
Look at you from a distance.
No, she'll just silently be like, how's the podcast? Mm.
Oh, I'm going to share my Paula Deen video.
Drink a lot. Drink a lot, do ya?
Do ya?
Do ya?
Do ya?
Perkins.
Definitely. And I think the one difference between the difference between me now and me 10 years ago is like
20 pounds? What?
Oh, more than 20. Tell me when you
I was not ready for that.
Tell me when you hit like 45.
I really wasn't ready for that. Sorry, but spit up.
Like now when I'm like I make a very and it's called my moment of zen most of the time is like I make sure that if when I go to work in the attitude of like being a pleasant human being to be around. And it's kind of
it's a
little
small
bit,
window.
It's a little bit on. Yeah, it's a little bit on because I want to make sure I get there in the right mood. Like I'm being paid to be there and do my job and not be a complete and total asshole to people. Mm-hmm. So I try to like put that out there of like, we have to get through this together, so we're going to do it with a positive attitude, or I'm going to fucking sucker punch you.
Right.
Like, we're going to do this pleasantly and as with as much happy, fake happy, or whatever kind of... We're going to get through this alive and still like each other. But at 7:31, I just shut down now, where before it would maybe continue on. But when I'm off work and off... I'm... Like, the dial is down to zero. Like, I got nothing to offer. I just want to, like... If you take me to a bookstore, I just want to wander around a bookstore and, like, stare at the books. Like, I don't...
The actual bookstore, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Where do you find one of those anymore?
We just did in California. Like,
Was there one across the street?
We found a Barnes & Noble at... yeah, now there's a Changing Hands right across the street. We found a Barnes & Nobles at 3rd Street Promenade. And, like, to go in, and it's like, I just want to, like, stare at stuff. Like, I really... want to turn the dials all the way to zero, but then when it comes up and it's time to like be it, then it's like, well,
yeah.
Then it comes out of my mouth and I'm like, and there's a lot of times that stuff comes out of my mouth and I'm like, there was no reason for that. Like, there was no reason to
oops.
And I don't bite as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used to have the habit of like what you were talking about with someone like coming back to you at a performance where I would just, they would make a small shot and I would finish the war. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I went to war and won. Like, I could never come back in, like, a polite, kind, fun way at your level.
And I feel like I do that. I try to do that.
Yeah, but and that was something that I had to learn over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Personal life and, like, out socially or, like, out at bar, you know, working in a bar for all that time. Like, anytime somebody, like, just tried to get a mild dig, it was just a kill shot.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I bite more than I used to.
Yeah.
I say it to people all the time, I'm not as sweet as I used to be.
Yeah, and I think I've gone the other way where now I'm like, go ahead, yeah. throw what you got. I'll hit you with as weak an ammo as you just did. Like we don't have to take this to right. DEF CON 4. So then the follow-up question was, like, do you feel there's a curtain between, like, and I think that's what the problem with the internet is, that you think that there's, like an invisibility cloak. Like, do you ever feel like that when you're on?
I don't. And
you've seen it in other performers, right?
Yes, but also what I was going to say is, if someone doesn't like or comment on something that I say or do, I have the foolish idea that no one else saw it. And so sometimes even whenever I'm kind of like rough with somebody on Facebook or opinionated about something, someone will later say to me, oh yeah, da 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 da. And I'm like, oh really? And like, I always forget that.
You could just like something without.
It's a further reach than you
can anonymously
know.
Look.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That just because only two people said something about it, that doesn't mean only two people read it. You know, there's 50 people who saw you read somebody for filth or eat someone's lunch or.
Yeah.
So I give up anonymity a long time ago, but.
And I'm not saying it's real, but like, do you ever get that? Or see it in others? And you're around a lot more performers than, especially I am now, like, but do you see it in other people that you think, do you think we don't know it's you under the, like, that?
No, I don't know.
I don't know if there's anybody out there anymore that does that kind of stuff.
About some of that kind of stuff, actually. Like, I am a little, I don't know. Naive is the right word. I'm a little naive for as being as worldly as I am. Like, I still kind of believe more than I probably should.
Okay. Mm. Do you ever, if not in yourself, do you ever see it in people that are like performing that you think, oh, they don't think we know who they are?
Yeah, probably. I can't think of an example, but I'm certain I've been,
right.
Like,
put on this outfit and you don't know me anymore. Like, I'm different.
Well, I see that a lot, but I don't like to tell about customers who pretend to be anonymous.
I've seen this in a couple, not to interject.
Please
too.
Do.
I think, I'll say one, I'm not going to say a name, but I think there's been a performer, a couple in this town that I know of in the past 20 years, where it's just been a name change, and all of a sudden they're a new fucking person, and we're not supposed to remember anything they ever did before.
The baggage.
All the baggage, all prison time, any of that. There's been performers like that for the years where they just come out, all of a sudden you don't see them for 6 months, and they come out and they have, maybe they have a new nose, maybe they don't, maybe they have a new different outfit, but all of a sudden it's a name, oh, I'm no longer this person, I'm this person.
Right.
And you're just supposed to forget and forget everything that was ever pre-existing.
So you kind of get what I'm going for. Like, and I saw it so much in people in town of like, I still know who you, like, you can't, like, and it, but mine would be the opposite. Like, they'd be like, and I think you were talking about it with like people that like only want you at
Barbara
when they
Seville.
Need you, and the rest of the time they act, then they're like, I still know you're the fucker that only asks for help then. Like,
oh, we were just talking about that earlier in the evening.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So sometimes the cloak of invisibility works the other way, where you, like, now you think because it's time that you don't need me, that I don't see you, like, we're in the same room, and now, like, I'm raising money for a cause, I'm asking for something, and you're acting like I can't see you over there by the dartboard.
You know what? It's funny that you mentioned that, because about people who need you for things. There is actually one person, again, I won't mention a name or what business they own, that if they walked in the room, I wouldn't know them. I know them by name, I know the business they own, and they friend requested me a long, long time ago, and it's still sitting there, but I don't know him.
Right.
We
right.
don't know each other. And I am apprehensive because and Barbara knows this as well as I do. And you know, Kat, maybe you've experienced this because of your long term. Well, actually, we probably all have. Somebody's requested us. Oh, I know them. And then within 10 fucking minutes of accepting the friend request, they post something on your wall and it has something to do with they're raising the money or some cause or something. And I'm like, you don't really give a shit about that. You're just using the fact that I have, maybe you've got 150 people and I have 5,000 friends or whatever. They're just trying to use the platform. And I know that's happened to Barbara, where they try to use your name to represent whatever they're doing. And it drives me, oh, fuck that. When they tag me in something, like they're doing an event.
I hate that.
Let's say they're doing an event that I have absolutely
nothing to do with.
Dwarf
right?
tossing in Jello.
Oh, no.
Something.
Now, nice. You could tag me. If you're doing dwarf tossing,
my bad,
please
my bad.
Call me.
Deal. No, but so.
Tag like, me, call like, me,
like,
sign me up.
You're doing some event that I have no desire to go to, no interest in, nothing. You've never talked to me about it. And then you tag me. Oh, you have no idea how quickly I run to my computer and untag myself from things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
a lot. But,
every crappy flyer for every crappy thing that ever happens at the bar, they want to tag me in.
But I'm
stop it.
Yeah, I'm just apprehensive about accepting this one friend. I think I'm being too cautious about it. I really should go to the business face to face to the guy and say, "I'm Clayton, blah blah blah. You're so and so," and that's just. And then once I knew them, I would probably feel better about it. Yeah. But I just feel like once I do that click, and it's there, it's going to be uglier if I have to unfriend the person. Yeah.
And I just,
it's fairly silent when you unfriend them. Like, they get a notification when you get friended, and then when you, like, 2 weeks later unfriend them, they're like, "Oh, when did that happen?"
I don't know how that happened.
Oh, weird.
But I have learned that you don't delete the friend request because they can then, they can't re-request you unless they delete it.
Right.
So you just let them hang
just
in purgatory.
Let it sit there.
Oh, I haven't. I'm almost at 200.
I'll take passive aggressive for $5,
Alex. Until I remember who you are, you're going to sit there because until something jogs my memory of like, who is this person?
Right, same thing.
But I just say that because there's so much online now of people saying shitty things about people that hide behind an anonymous title, a fake name. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of happens in the community of people like just bagging on something for no fucking reason. Like pride happens and then you get like 8,000 people just bitching about it, but then they're there and you're like you're not invisible. Like we see you. So it's the difference between like that sounds wrong. I don't want to say it that way, but, there's kind of that thing with Facebook of just being accountable for what. Like, everything on this show, I'm sure if you read me a list, it'd be like, "Oh, sweet baby Jesus, tell me I didn't say that."
And then we can go back and pull the audio.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and play
you
the
did.
Audio. But at the same time, it'd be like, well, play it in context. Was it, mm-hmm. You know, did I cringe with you? Then we're fine. Or do you know what I mean?
Did Kat write it down as a
listener we lost? Like
a minority group that we've already
goodness
alienated?
Gracious, 3 weeks in and this list is long.
We'll get you more legal pads if you need it.
So that's what I mean about people just trying to be anonymous when we can see you. But my thing with the drag is always the opposite way. The people that out of drag think you don't know that's them. Mm. You know what I mean? And they try to get away with something and it's like...
And there are people, and I think...
Again, and not just drag, but just for fun.
I don't want to throw out this particular name because this person is quite well known. But there are such night and day with the person in drag is larger than life and would say anything, but out of drag, like a wallflower,
eyes to the floor,
wouldn't see. Won't look
but
in the eye.
That's common a lot in people that perform. Is that outside of the performance realm? They really are very shy. Like that's how they get out. That all of that comes out that way. I mean, that's kind of a performer thing.
Yeah, but I think what Clayton is speaking to.
Oh, I definitely know what you mean by that. I do.
You know, is just balls and nerve and audacity.
Yeah.
More than just comfort or confidence or whatever.
We just live in a weird.
Like, you get your ass kicked if you said that.
Right,
just Monday afternoon.
Right, but
on a Friday night, it's a different story.
Right.
When it's showtime, you can just say whatever the fuck you want. Everybody's like, "Oh my god, it's hilarious!" But if you again, it's out of take it out of context on Monday afternoon, 4:30. You don't just lip off to somebody like that.
Suddenly, you're a little more remorseful and contrite.
Even if you're saying it to the same person, you just couldn't get away with it.
But you meant it differently.
Yeah. After four shots of Southern Comfort,
and that's exactly what I mean. Is like
just saying.
I know who it is now. I know.
Hypothetically.
I think the timeline kind of spells it out for even those of us that don't go to the bar at those times. But no, but that's what I mean about the things, the shitty
dates
things you
have
say.
Been
like
changed to protect the guilty.
The guilty.
It's just that feeling of like the shitty things that you post thinking you're anonymous. People know who you are.
Yeah.
And it's going to like, and I mean it all in the end. I'm asking for personal stories from everybody, but I mean it from that defamation thing of like, as this goes international, if you start saying shit and somebody like pulls a jihad on your ass, you said it. Like, you got to own it. You got to be like, yep, that's what I stood for. And hope that they're respectful kill you.
The idea of digital anonymity is disappearing. Like, you're leaving a digital footprint.
Right.
Like,
definitely.
So,
definitely.
Yeah. I mean, where you're coming from, and I think where this is coming from, like, the idea of being anonymous online is becoming such a small possibility.
Right.
Because you're just logged in. You're connected. You linked your Facebook to every little fucking thing you just did. Like, it's not going to be an issue soon, I think.
Yeah.
You know what's
and I think it's an important change to getting people to mm-hmm. sit to like have a little common courtesy and a little respect. I mean, we're sure. taking it off from we're all in a different place where we've all hosted things and been in front of microphones and done things that you're you know what I mean. We kind of had to go somewhere different. That if it was for housewives, that you know the best thing they ever did was drive their Toyota. But
listen, those women can be mean.
Write down housewives
and Toyota.
There goes my whole listenership.
So, I don't know. It would have been interesting, but I'm out of control. So, fun times.
That was actually was interesting. Real quickly, on The View today, I thought that was funny. When they approached the Tracy Morgan Walmart thing, which I meant to talk about today, they had to specifically do their disclaimer that, hey, Walmart is a sponsor, and it's very awkward when we have to talk about things like this, because Walmart is now blaming Tracy Morgan.
No.
This wouldn't have happened to you if you were wearing a seatbelt.
Maybe we can talk about that next week if Barbara will join us again, because Marnie Ryer is out. It's the end of hour three. Well, actually, 3 hours and 17 minutes. It's the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton, along with Richard Stevens.
Wow.
Al Perkins. I'm Clayton
How
McKee.
How old are you?
Let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Thank you, Richard.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.